Just me or anything got louder?
It got louder.
It's that time again. Yeah. Ya es la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención, classes in session. Tune in for an hour, maybe more, that's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause some churches never teaching shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit, yeah. That means you take a loss if you stray from the way. You get the understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it's say what it say. Gavin el tiempo. Entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento. La Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento. No te pierdas en doctrina como viento. Estudia y ora y aplica. Tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita. Escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos y israelitas. Oye cómo explica Israel unido en Cristo para la vida. Nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour. Learn your family history, don't be a coward. Yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Your history is the word, it's the power hour. You learn hour. Tune in to your history, you know it in your history. Power hour. You learn hour. You know where you're history, love hour, power hour.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. I'm Deacon Yahshua.
Officer Zara.
Officer Shia.
Officer Tobias.
All praises to the Most High. We back in the booth.
That's right.
We had a week off, men's conference travel day. Was that because we had a week off, or was that because of...
Because we back.
Back.
No,
that, that was all late. That was... Back. The timing on that one was kind of late. The time is open. You see, we're featuring Officer Tobias now in the shot. Single, hey. Single brother.
I'm Dang.
Crazy. From the tribe of Judah. That's Judah crazy. Looking like Logic. Hey, no, the only reason his name came up in my head is Captain Zakar was asking about it. He said, hey, who's that that rapper that looks white?
Oh man!
I said, "Oh, Logic." I said, "Is Logic he talking about?" I said, "Damn, we got Logic in Phoenix." Hey, all praise to the Most High. Officer Tobias, single brother. All right, looking for a good wife based on a good foundation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Want somebody, husband and wife that agree together. Right. Don't mean you both like Doritos.
Okay. Yeah, it's Funyuns over here.
All right, Funyuns. He said Funyuns. So just got back from men's conference, the Detroit Declaration. All right, all praise to the Most High. Powerful, powerful conference, like always. Seeing the growth that was in there is very inspiring. All the different topics and the continuation of us being an organized nation, you know, a lot of the stuff that goes on at the conference, you know, because we got a lot of haters, we don't necessarily put out that whole itinerary for people and things like that. But it's not just a bunch of us getting together and doing Sabbath type classes for a few days.
Right.
There's things going on and things discussed that help better the men, that build
nation
the men,
building.
Nation building, continuing to expand and structure that organized nation.
Yes, sir. Hey, I was telling to the congregation, I was doing Monday Night Law here at the school, and I was saying, look, something that Captain Ben Zion was saying on the mic, he said, brothers, stand up, you know, stretch. And then he was saying, brothers, repeat after me. Thank God for IUIC. And it stuck to me because it's like we could have been at another camp with another crazy camp with crazy doctrines, but I'll praise to the Most High, man. Israel United in Christ is going to new levels every year. Brothers and sisters, get ready, get your minds ready. New levels, new devils. Israel United in Christ is always taking it to that next level every single year.
All praises, all praises. What about you, officers? You got anything to say?
I wasn't there.
He said,
you need some milk.
Right. He said, well,
the way my
I move zip codes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So happy. You know, life, you know, it
come
is
back.
It is.
Brother's in a different city. He was on one side of the valley. Now he's on the other. I said, what? I said, a lot changed after conference.
Right.
All praises. All praises. Anyway, I haven't forgotten. We need to go back and we're going to continue to deal with that social constructionism, because there's a lot of offshoots to that that we're going to go into. I think it's very important that we discuss those type of things. So the topic today is going to be a little different because I kind of mentioned it, I think, last time we were on the air briefly, I think, when we were talking about Ecuador. That I wanted to go over this thing with, I think I had mentioned that I had in some literature, and I have the books.
Oh, yeah, yeah, history.
About how we, to reinforce even more what the scripture teaches us in 2 Ezra 13, 40 on down to 45, about the so-called Hispanics, Native Indigenous, being the ones that came over here to this side of the earth where we're at presently, the Western Hemisphere, all right? And, you know, there's a lot of people out there. They come with all these different things. First of all, as we were discussing this past weekend, and we've said it multiple times, DNA is BS.
Right.
Because the DNA, the source DNA that they're comparing it to is the false Jews.
Right.
It's the Jewish. So, of course, when you grab any of our DNA, whether you're Southern or Northern Kingdom, and then say, see, they're not Jewish, of course we're not. Because we're not the Amalekites.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right? Right. You would need to go back and get Jacob's DNA, which they don't have to say this. Right?
No.
But what will show up when you do things like that is what? That, yes, we're they'll say we're African. They'll say we're Native Indigenous. They'll say we're this, that, and the other, so on and so forth. So they'll bring that type of information out. Okay? Gosh, man. These freaking... I don't just damn, and that's the Northern Kingdom Church, right?
Yes.
But let me tell you something.
The Northern Kingdom.
I love it. They both doing music rehearsals
that
today.
Is both of them.
So that's the Southern Kingdom Church and the Northern Kingdom Church.
Yes, sir.
And they're both doing music rehearsals today.
Yes, sir.
Bro, both of those churches have been here for years, and they've never come like that. Bro, it's like. They see us on the rise. I think they know our schedule, and they just come and they do shit on purpose. Part of my language, bro. So that maybe y'all at home can't hear it. They got, and they're not even good. They got the band. They're not even good.
Oh,
at
yeah.
at least the brothers that we got here that used to be in the Christian band, they good.
Right.
Shout out to Officer Nehemiah, Officer K.
Hey, the rhythm was bad when I first came in. The rhythm was bad, and I was like, man, what's going on? So now, since she says Northern King, that makes sense. You know what I mean? So.
Oh wow, this dude trying to say.
Wow,
bro.
Wow.
All righty then, bro.
We're about to kick him off the show.
You haven't been here in a long time, and we're about to show you the exit.
Right.
Crazy.
I know, he acting like he's Judah, too. Look, he ain't Judah at all. Like, he's like Gad, I think. He's Gad. Look at him,
man.
My goodness. Anyway, that thing was distracting me like crazy listening to them do this. They playing the drums all off beat, everything. We have mentioned how, you know, that I had some books. And listen, the books are nice. The books are,
yeah,
right? They're not necessary, all right? But we got a couple books that will, Lord's will, we'll get through all of it. I have a lot today. We got the Atkinson's Casket, all right? You're not going to find this book.
Wait, are you sure you're going to show these?
Yeah, it's all right. Because you can't find this. This one you can't find.
Really?
No, I mean, maybe you can now. You'll find like a reprint. I had to
put the picture up for this.
I had to get this reprinted. I had to find a company that had the file and they print and publish on demand in order to get it.
That's what's up.
I actually have more than one copy of this.
So it was like a PDF?
I have a softbound copy somewhere, I think.
So it's a PDF? You just send a PDF to them or something?
No, so they know what it was like in its original form, because this is how it was when you find it. And this is actually volume. Like, so thing is, these type of books, certain libraries have them, but they're not reprinted anymore.
Right.
So essentially, there's certain companies that you'll find files. They happen to have this file on hand. I did a lot of research, and I happened to find it, and I paid, and they were able to print it. And they were able to print it for me. So it's like a replica of what it was. So this one's actually in pretty new condition. It's not like one that you would buy used that's been handed down and stuff like that. That's why I tell you, don't put your greasy fingers on the pages.
Yeah, I put sanitizer.
Don't put your taco. No, let me stop.
Wow. All righty then. That's
right. Oh, that was his spirit. That was his spirit that did that.
Right.
Wow. I've spoken about, we've done shows with this book. We got American Holocaust. And there's actually a lot more in these books that I haven't been able to get into. I was asking Deacon Nathan, we were talking about some stuff this weekend. I said, well, how do you go through all these books? Well, he says, I have a good research team. He goes, so they find a lot of information. They're always researching. He goes, you know, so they'll get the books in front of me. And he was saying how, he says he really doesn't read through the whole book. He doesn't really have time to read through the whole book, but that he'll skim. He'll use the index for, like, keywords and things like that.
Okay.
And that'll help him find it. Because I told him, I said, bro, I got, like, so many books, but I don't really have the time to sit there and read them cover to cover. He was like, nah, you know, just those are some tips and stuff that you'll find it. And then I have the Aztecs. And this, I think I have the PDF in Spanish, Las Aztecas.
Mm.
And there's some pretty good information that's going to come out of all of these. Lord's will, we get over all of it today. And we'll see. Okay, we'll see. I know Officer Tobias walked in. He was like, "Hey, man, hey, what's going on there?"
We're about to. I'm excited. The Power Hour turned into a second edition of Our Hidden History.
No, I am not. I don't got the researchers like Deacon. Nor the gift that with him with history.
That is true.
That's obviously a gift. So.
Hey, you know, but I saw Officer Jazz out there, and I was from Philly. And I wanted to talk to him, like, hey, what's up, bro? Like, so drop some knowledge, some history on me, but I didn't get to talk to him.
You didn't get to talk to him?
Nah, but, yeah. Bro, imagine all that history they've been studying. And
Yeah. They got some good stuff as far as the history going on over there. So, anyway, so I guess, gosh, where do I want to start? Maybe I want to start with this video. I guess I'll start with this video. All right. So we're going to jump right in. We're going to go. So today's show, the topic is They Came Before Columbus. A lot of times we're out there and we're teaching and we're always bringing out how, as far as for blacks and Hispanics, Native Indigenous, our history, even though there might be some traditions written, like Gag gets real touchy about that. No, our history goes back. Yeah, but it's still not the right history.
Mm-hmm.
By and large, as far as most documented things in how the world's concerned, our history starts with the arrival of the conquistadors, right? When you're dealing with this side of the world, that's where the history comes into play, all right? And prior to that, the history that we do have is told from the perspective of our conquerors.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them did keep some – see, they all practice iconoclasm, all right? And iconoclasm is, it means image breakers. Okay. So it's really just the practice of changing images. I'm not sure if there's a good definition for it. You can look it up while I'm speaking. Iconoclasm. It's been spoken about before in the past here. Various teachers in IUIC have used it. We've spoken about it on the show in the past. And, Okay. Let's put that up. That's fine. We can go with that one and make it bigger. All right. Read that for me, Officer Tobias.
Iconoclasm, the action of attacking or assertively rejecting cherished beliefs and institutions or established values and practices.
Right. So if by that first definition, we're still under attack by iconoclasm. For example, when we teach and we show and the Bible bears witness that we're the Israelites, okay, they attack us and they assertively reject. Why are you moving it so much? Can you put it down so we can thank you? They assertively reject, right, the beliefs and institutions. They reject the Bible as it should be taught. And they say we're not the Israelites, right? They say that we're anti-Semitic, which is a misnomer because we descend from Shem. There's a lot of races that descend from Shem.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one, all right, is the one that we're more dealing with. All right, and get that as 1 Maccabees 3:41. You'll see an example of that there. But read this, the second definition.
Two, the rejection or destruction of religious images as heretical, the doctrine of iconoclasm.
Right. So iconoclasm really means image breakers. Right, can you expand that? Sometimes it says the root of the word. Scroll down.
Iconoclasm.
Doesn't say it there. There's another one where
I think
it's
on Wikipedia.
About, where it talks about image breakers and things like that.
Wikipedia.
Let's see.
Yep. Go down.
I just saw it.
Figure to break. There it is. Yes. Scroll up. Scroll up. So you see from the Greek, and it means figure or icon, uh-huh. right? When something's iconic, and it says to break. So it's it means image breakers, all right? And it says here's the social belief in the importance of the destruction of icons and other images of monuments. People who engage in or support the iconoclasm are called iconoclasts, a term that has come to be figuratively applied to any individual who challenges the definition of those cherished beliefs. All right. So what happens is a lot of times in that conquest of them coming over here, they didn't like a lot of what they saw. Whatever history we do have preserved, some in these books and things, is largely out of publication. I mean, and if you find this, there had to have been so much more. And you see that it was a practice, all right, under the Greeks until now. Actually, they really perfected it, but they always were trying to destroy our images. Because you read how Ezra's iconoclasm was destroying the scriptures, right? And Ezra's had to basically rewrite the Bible, right? As far as in the spirit, the Most High gave him all this understanding, him and some other brothers, and they put the scriptures out again because they were always trying to destroy it. That's a form of iconoclasm because they knew it was our history book, all right? But read this in 1 Maccabees 3:41, so you'll see one example of iconoclasm, all right?
This is the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 3 and verse 48.
Freedom!
And laid open the book of the law, wherein the heathen had sought to paint the likeness of their images.
Right. So they basically, you take it a step further. Let me not just destroy the images. Now let me go ahead and as I destroyed them, they'll paint their images in it. And this is why you have this confusion as to who the Jews are to this day, who the Israelites are, the false image of a white Christ that you see there. And the scripture told us that we would be under a curse of iconoclasm. Get Hosea 3 and 4, all right? Get Hosea 3 and 4. The scripture teaches us, and it tells us that we would be under iconoclasm in these last days, all right? Come on.
The book of Hosea, chapter 3 and verse 4.
Freedom!
For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image.
And without an image, without an image. But they don't tell you why. Well, that's when you pair it with the curses, and you understand, right? It was the Lord that brought that upon us. They said we'd be without a king and without a prince, without a sacrifice and without an image. Come on.
Without an ephod and without a teraphim.
Right. So letting you know that we would not have our images. We would not have those things. And you got some morons to this day talking about we're not supposed to have images.
Right.
If it tells you we would abide without them, and when you read in Exodus and parts of Exodus, Leviticus and Numbers, it talks about in great detail how we were supposed to set up the temple, certain things and certain images and things like that in great detail. So people say we're not supposed to have images. You dumb as hell. You better never watch the television. Stop looking at your phone. You're going to post on Facebook about not having images on the same device that has images in front of you. Freaking idiots.
Boom.
Make no damn sense. But what the scripture says is that you should not bow down and worship these images. All right. But people say that when their spirit cannot escape the white supremacist indoctrination that they have.
Right.
So they'll jive with what some of the scripture says. But then when it gets to the image part, no, well, nobody knows what who looked like this, that, and the other.
Jesus can't be black.
But notice they never cared when a white Jesus was pushed, when Caesar Borgia was pushed, right?
Right?
It's only when the black image comes up that you have an issue with that, mm-hmm. that it makes you feel uncomfortable, all right? Not realizing the state of indoctrination that you're in.
Right.
So
heavy.
So our history largely comes from that. So it's important. Imagery is important for our people. Imagery is important for people. It always has been, all right? The Most High has always showed us things and put a presence in front of us, right? If it's not of a person, right? In Exodus, you read about how we had the pillar, right, of fire. It was a cloud and then a pillar of fire by night, mm-hmm. okay? That's imagery, and it's important to our people to see that thing. It enlightens the senses. You read that in Sirach when it talks about the different gifts that he gave us, right?
Right.
The different senses. So, you know, it's kind of dumb to say they didn't need images, then why do we need eyes then, if that's the point, right? If images weren't important. Just, you can break that down in so many different ways.
Yep.
But understand that that was a curse, that we would be without images, which tells you two things. That iconoclasm is alive today. And two, that we used to have images. Mm-hmm. Right? So to say that there's no images doesn't make sense.
There's images all over the world.
Right.
And thing is, why did they break the noses off?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're at war, even in images.
Yes. All that is there, all right? So that's iconoclasm. So a lot of times everybody talks about, oh, America was discovered. And it's crazy because it obviously wasn't discovered if people were here.
Mm.
But they call it the Age of Discovery. They say it was the New World. Well, it was new to them.
Yes.
It goes to show you how white supremacist and white-centric even their history is.
Right.
That somebody could be here already, and they would say they discovered it.
And it's called Discover Now.
Right. Really, because by its very nature, to discover something means nobody has known about it before.
Right.
Yes.
That's discovering, right? So they claim to discover it, and history books teach it, and nobody's ever questioned it, all right? But they're actually off, all right? So we're going to show this TikTok. How long? It was actually a little long, right?
It was a little long, but it was really good.
4 minutes.
But it's real good.
Yeah.
It says part two. I wonder what part one was. But we'll start with this TikTok, and then we'll go into some of the books and some of the scriptures, and because what he's saying is actually biblical, and we'll prove that Lord's will today. All right, so go ahead, play this. It's very
wait
low.
Wait up, stop
it's very
it.
Low.
Stop it. Go back and then turn it up. Channel, whatever channel that is.
And actually, get me a map of the Middle East attached to Africa, because he says something in the beginning. I'm probably gonna pause it a bunch to go over certain aspects.
I'll send it to you.
My gosh, these people are so damn loud. This is louder than I've ever heard it. Or maybe it's just been a few weeks and I haven't been here.
They got a new drum.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, goodness.
Gosh.
Africa discovered America. That's not a fact. Facts change. Look at the evidence. Okay. The Olmec Colossal Head. These 11-foot-tall, 20-ton boulders found off the Gulf of Mexico dating back to 900 BC.
Stop. What about so he says Africa discovered America. Now, here's the issue with that. He's not wrong, but he's not all the way right, because he lacks context in explaining that. Because what will happen is you'll have our people who will get Afrocentric,
yeah,
and they're thinking dashikis and, you know, Wakanda and all this other type of
damn
stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we're going to show you today is the Israelites who discovered America. And this is where I want the map, because remember, the term Middle East is an invention to create an illusion that it's not Africa, all right? But what's known as the Middle East is a part of Africa. It's attached to Africa, literally, all right? So
I sent it
there
right
you
now.
Go. So, yeah, let's do – we can do the colored one since it's more pronounced. Let's do the colored
okay
one. Let's make it bigger. Let's do that one, all right? Just so you can see here. So – that area that they call the Middle East, it'll be that orange, blue, all this right here. They call that the Middle East, right? Iran, Turkey, all of that. But look at where Israel is, all right? Jordan, everything else. And then look at what it's attached to,
Egypt.
All right? Egypt. And look, you see the landmass there and everything. What is it, the Suez Canal that they use to,
yes,
like, separate it and try to say, see, you can't walk over anymore? But if you look at the map, that's actually part of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally attached to Africa. It's part of Africa. But they came up with this term, and I forgot, there's like a link on it. Bishop Nathaniel's gone over it a bunch of times. And they told you that up until, like, I think the late 1800s or early 1900s, it was considered Africa. Middle East is a new term.
They completed Suez Canal in November 1869.
Right. So late 1800s is when they started to say, okay, now this is the Middle East. So when he says Africa, okay, discovered America, he's not wrong, like I said, but he's not all the way right, because what he means is, or what he should be saying, is that the Israelites discovered it, right? It wasn't, like I said, that's what I'm saying, it wasn't like the Hamite tribes that did. It was Israelites that discovered it, and he's not wrong in that. The cradle of life is in Africa, just not where scientists say. Scientists say it's like a little north of South Africa and so on and so forth, because archaeologically they found some first bones there that they can trace back and all this other stuff. But the Bible doesn't tell you that.
No.
It gives you a general direction when it talks about the rivers of where Eden is and so on. So you'll read some of that in 2 Ezra 7. 6 and 7, I think it helps you with Genesis. But it talks about that, Pison and all of that, and it gives you an idea more or less. And that's the cradle of life according to the scriptures, all right? So let's go back and let's play this TikTok.
And it's heavy how the Lord had to put it in great detail where this river, that river.
Right.
Man.
He gave an approximation.
Yes.
Of where it was, yes.
Africans discovered America. That's not a fact. Facts change. Look at the evidence.
Okay.
The Olmec colossal heads. These 11-foot-tall, 20-ton boulders found off the Gulf of Mexico dating back to 900 BC.
What about them?
I mean, look at their faces. Some of them look Native American, yeah. But others, big noses, big lips. Come on, the Africans fuck.
Why would huge African heads be in Mexico?
The Olmecs and the Africans coexisted. It wasn't a journey of conquest, but one of trade.
West
Africans
stop.
Had copper.
He says the Olmecs and the Africans coexisted. Right. Again, we're going to point this out. The Olmecs and the Africans, it's the same people that he's talking about.
Right.
All right. And again, we're going to watch this clip, and then we're going to show you with the literature that we have and scripturally what it's speaking about. Okay. So, yeah, they coexisted because they were the same people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was under the time of Solomon
right.
that they came over. And under Solomon, we were a united kingdom. So that means Northern and Southern Kingdom came over. They did coexist.
And at that time, we weren't mixed with Esau like that.
Right.
We weren't like what he said. Oh, why do they look black? Yeah, they look Native American, but they were black too because we weren't conquered by Esau.
Right. Because remember, it started with the Assyrians mainly for Northern Kingdom. So it's not even just Esau. It's a lot of races.
Yep.
That you have that going on in there.
And even at that time, Persia, Syria, Babylon, they were black.
Right.
Not until the 1400s where they conquered us, and then that's where we started mixing up, and then you got the, what's it called, in Mexico where it has a caste, the caste system.
Las castas.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So now, at that time where he's talking about how the Olmecs, we weren't like me and Officer Sarah, we weren't light-skinned. And like all of us in this room, hey,
right,
what's going on?
Right.
We weren't light-skinned.
Well, understand something, too. Remember, Isaac had Jacob and Esau, right? So there was even variability in shading amongst ourselves even before any captivity.
Yo, I was reading.
So you have to understand that as well. We weren't all, you know, I'm not saying we were all extremely light-skinned either, but we weren't all.
Since
so, yeah, you can't speak all like in absolutes in that regard. The thing is, you know, we don't want to give Esau too much credit for complexions and things like that.
Right.
Because that goes into this, right, like they were talking about this
1%,
weekend. 1%. Right. Like, their sperm is just so strong that they just, right, that it just, it got everybody light-skinned.
No. I was reading Jacob, and you brought this before a long time ago about how the cattle, they were brown and they were speckled and what have you. You got to break it down sometimes, because I was like, I was reading it, and I didn't get it.
Oh, that's right. I remember when I went over that.
You went over that some time ago.
Right. Well, what that actually goes into more how the Most High always wanted, like, certain separation. So,
right.
Like, for example, we used to have the understanding with the mixed fibers, right, that you couldn't mix fibers at all.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go into more detail on it, it means, think about it. It talks about not mixing linen and wool very specifically. Now, it doesn't mean it's just those two fibers, but what's the characteristics of those two fibers? One comes from an animal. One comes from a plant.
Mm.
Linen is cotton. It comes from a plant. Wool comes from an animal. The Most High didn't want us mixing animal and plant like that to make clothing. That's what that's going into. So when you have like poly blends and things like that, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not sin.
So your socks are okay.
Your socks are fine. Your underwears are fine. Your shirt that has 3% spandex and cotton is fine,
because
one is a plant and one is synthetic, right? The issue that was had there, and Bishop Kanai went over this recently when he was going over like the fruits and the way
Deuteronomy chapter 4.
at what that's where that comes from, because there's still a lot of people out there that are with that old understanding. I think I even did a topic on, I don't know if it's up on, there's a lot of classes I did over the years here that didn't make it because you guys sucked back then. We lost it and everything. Audio was terrible. That didn't
here.
Make it up onto the thing. I went over it, and then Bishop Kanai went over it. And there's another scripture that Bishop Nathaniel had posted a while back that talks about the Roebuck and something else, and it goes into that. And it was basically expounding even more on the fabric, all right? So when you're dealing with clothing, right, it's not mixing animal and plant fabric. That's what it's going into, because you weren't supposed to do things like that. So that's kind of more what the cow thing is going into. But I think I had brought the example of it foreshadowing kind of
us being different.
Yes. I remember vaguely going over
it. It was a long time ago.
You know, a lot of times I don't have notes for that stuff. It's just like I'll remember it. Yeah, and it comes out and things like that. So
I was remembering that you were going over that, and I was like, yeah, I got to ask you, like, because I was reading it, I was looking up words, and I was like, gosh, I was trying to picture it in my head, and I still couldn't.
That's where
the images come in. We need an image.
But yeah, because you still got a lot of people out there that are freaking out about the fabric and the mixed fabrics, and it's not, you know. And nowadays, man, it's not gonna happen, you know. And then also, it's also talking about interwoven, too, when that does happen, right? So you might have, like, a wool coat with, like, a cotton lining. It's not woven into the fabric that way, so it's not talking about that. But anyway, I say that to say, because you said the thing with the cows and the herds and the speckle with the unspeckled, and it made me think about that. But all right, so he says that they lived together. We're pointing out that, of course, they did, because we're going to show you today that it's the Israelites. All right, I'll try to not stop as much so we can play this through. Come on. You can play it so I don't have to listen to the Christian music.
Point of trade. West Africans had copper, metalwork, and gold, and Mexico had maize, corn. Then where's the evidence? There's maize crops in parts of West Africa that predate Christopher Columbus by centuries, and those crops aren't native to Africa. It could have only been brought over from Mexico.
So stop. Here's what he's saying.
That's heavy right there.
Get the one where it says they were picking corn in the New Testament, all right, to show you the connections that he said. Because you read that, I'm sorry, most people hear that, and they're not thinking about what he's saying. You said it's heavy what he said.
Really?
He said corn is not native to the Eastern Hemisphere.
Really?
I didn't even know that.
Corn is not native to the Eastern Hemisphere.
Wow.
And until we had this understanding of Solomon's journeys to this side of the earth, that made a lot of sense to us, right? And say, yeah, corn's not native. The New Testament, there Christ and his disciples were picking corn in the field. It talks about that, right?
Matthew 12.
All right, so let's read that real quick.
What verse?
One.
Look at St. Matthew, chapter 12 and verse 1.
Right, he says maize is maíz. All right, that's how we say it in Spanish. All right, maíz. Maíz is not even the Spanish word. It's actually the Aztec and Mayan word for it, maíz. All right?
Yeah.
So corn, right? So he makes the point that corn, all right, is not native to the Eastern Hemisphere. And we used to say, they're lying. That's not true. Because Christ was picking corn with the disciples on the Sabbath day, and they made a big thing out of it. But with what we're going to bring out, understanding that we came over here during the time of Solomon, it would make sense that corn then made its way back over to where we were at. Okay? Go ahead.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 12 and verse 1.
Bring it out.
At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And his disciples were in hunger and began to pluck the ears of corn
right.
and to eat.
So if corn was there in the time of Christ, then it lines up that during the time of Solomon, which was before that, when we had a navy and a united kingdom, that they traded things. And when we get into the Atkins's casket book, you're going to see that piece of it. Man, now that I'm going into it, we'll see how far we get, because there's a lot of things I got to read. Maybe if I rush it, we'll get all of it today. If not, we'll move on. But they mentioned corn, right? So, again, I'm telling you from personal experience, we used to say, well, they're full of crap that they say corn's not native to here because Christ was picking corn there. But that's before we understood that we had made journeys here prior. I don't know if it was last week or a couple weeks before, I also brought out that in 2 Ezra's, when it says, how did they know there was a place where never mankind dwelt?
Right.
And a lot of times we don't ask that question. But then I also showed in Judges, Lord's will, we'll bring it out today, that they knew that they needed to get away from the heathen. And they also understood this history that we're going to bring out with Solomon. And that means that historically amongst the Israelites, they knew of a place where never mankind dwelt. This is why they called it Arsareth, because they had named it even. They had named it even. All right. So he makes the point here that corn was not indigenous. All right. So this is how corn got here, and how you see in Christ time, he was picking ears of corn because trips were made prior and marks were left. This is why they say the Olmec. Now, their carbon dating is BS. I think I can't remember exactly now because it's been so many years, but I remember when I was taking chemistry in college, I was in the truth because I went back to school late in my 30s. And I was asking about the carbon dating, and even he laughed because he was talking about how carbon decays at a certain rate. And I said, well, how do you know that it decayed at that rate? And his answer is, well, if we take carbon, because like it takes a certain amount of time that nobody's ever lived to watch it decay. Mm. He says, well, what we do is we'll watch it decay over the course of a year or 2 years, and then we extrapolate that and say that that's the rate of decay. Yeah. I said, but there's things that decay increases or decreases over time. So you can't say that that's a constant. That carbon does. So basically everything's speculation, right? So, you know, in the beginning he said facts change. It's true. There's something that Dale says a fact will then wind up changing as new evidence comes out. Yeah. I often bring out how they argued that Pluto wasn't a planet anymore. Now they're saying, again, it is. Different things like that yeah. they try to bring out and discuss.
Like with us, the water rises.
Right. Hey, I think I had to explain it to my son recently about that because something came up. We were listening to a song or watching something. And he was asking something about science. I can't remember the exact details, and guessing. And I was basically trying to explain to him that theories, you know, scientists will argue differently, but theories are essentially in scientific theory and what they say fact. It's usually guesses until new information comes out, right?
Yeah.
Because remember, first they were saying it was all the fat that was making us fat. Now they're saying it's all the carbohydrates, right? Then all these different things that they change, right? Now this cholesterol in eggs was bad for you. Now they're saying dietary cholesterol doesn't increase the risk of certain things. So it's constantly changing. All they do is guess. And I brought that out in Wisdom of Solomon 9, where it says, even with diligent work, we hardly guess right.
Right.
So it's all guessing. It's all guessing. So that carbon dating is BS. They give you it's probably, you know, they say that there's proximity, but you can't go by that carbon dating, same way that the DNA and stuff is a mess. But when they tell you corn came from the Americas, and then you read in Christ time that they were picking corn, either they're wrong when they say corn is native to the Americas, or there's some information missing historically that brings you there. So something as simple as them picking corn on the Sabbath comes full circle as more understanding comes out for us to stand our history and how we, the different ways we were scattered into the different parts of the earth as the prophecy fulfilled. All right.
Double meaning in Job.
Was that?
Like a double meaning in Job.
Right, right. Exactly, exactly. So go ahead, play this. Run it back to the part with the corn.
Crops aren't native to Africa. It could have only been brought over from Mexico.
So you think Africans went back and forth to the Americas? I mean, yeah.
Israelites. Yeah.
And how did Africans find their way to Mexico? Well, for one, the Canary Current. It's like a clockwise river stream in the Atlantic Ocean. You could literally sail a boat from West Africa to the Americas with your eyes closed. And two, Africans were master shipbuilders and navigators. We were voyagers, explorers, educators, architects. I could see it happening. Maybe the Europeans taught Africans.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Africans taught Europeans.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. The Moors?
Who?
The Moors? Shakespeare's Othello? The Moor Venice? The Moors were the Muslims of Northwest Africa, and they taught Europeans.
Some of them were Muslim.
I was going to say that.
See, this is because they have to throw deflection. So that we don't get too close to that truth. Remember in Psalms 83, it says they consulted against our hidden ones,
right?
They took crafty counsel. Some things they just couldn't utterly destroy with their iconoclasm. So there's records of certain things. So what they do is they'll alter it just enough that it still seems believable, but then it doesn't allow us the full credit that we deserve.
Right. Because he started with, Africans, and the Africans went to Mexico. Well, and right, and then today you got Southern Kingdom or blacks and Hispanics fighting about, no, we're the Aztecs and we're the Olmecs and things of that nature. So there was a mix of, okay, there's every if it's a black person or if it's a
black image or Africans.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no difference. There's no separation of who's who.
Right. They just say Africa. What they're really saying is that it was this region. Going back to why I pulled the map up.
Mm.
So, and now he keeps saying West Africa, which we know after Christ's time, after the time of 70 AD, is when we all fled, right? And we eventually made our ways, I mean, all over Africa, but mainly to parts west, right? Predominantly. But prior to that happening, again, when we get to Atkinson's casket, it's going to clear up a lot of what he's saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now he's saying Moors, and that's another non-distinction that he doesn't know or doesn't make, because again, now he's saying, oh, Moors that ruled Spain. And again, not knowing that full history, I didn't even know that full history about
right.
the Moors, and now how leadership brings it out.
Yes.
They're Israelites. We were ruling, and
right.
he's going to mention the Dark Ages.
Right.
That was us too.
Right.
You see what I mean?
And we'll read about that canary current in here in Atkinson's casket.
Mm.
And it also talks about how, we will come around the Cape of Good Hope. It says that in here. And the Cape of Good Hope is on the tip of South Africa. And then what happens is, many of them were sailing up the coast of West Africa to try to find certain places. But then, right, they would go. So he's trying to say that it might have been on accident, basically, is what he's implying. The book kind of here says it might have been on accident, too. But remember, Solomon was the wisest there
right.
was, right?
He understood the elements.
Right, right. So it kind of talks about how it's not so far. Like, once you're in West Africa, he's saying, listen, some of the Jews that were on these ships probably took it upon themselves to say, hey, now let's go a little further this way. Let's go a little further that way. What's the caller?
Wow, we have a caller.
We have a caller. We have a caller. What's the give me the lowdown before we put him on air.
Hey, Shalom. So it's Officer Solomon of IUIC Arizona calling in.
Oh, okay. All right. he couldn't help himself. He's sitting there making some fresh herbs or some homemade bread on his own, and he got excited.
Kombucha.
Right, he's making his own kombucha and got excited, so let me call in. Shalom, Officer Solomon of IUIC Phoenix. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus. 30 minutes away
hey,
from us.
Shalom. Shalom, Deacon.
Hey,
Most High Christ bless.
Most High Christ
yeah,
bless.
I
What's going on?
Yes, shalom to all Israel. I had a question on the topic. I've heard this in other classes as well as concerning the corn.
Uh-huh.
And how it was on the Western Hemisphere.
Uh-huh.
And my question is going into Genesis 41 and also in Leviticus, where it talks about tithing in Leviticus, and in Genesis where it talks about Joseph aiding
uh-huh.
the famine by having the dream about the corn on stalks and then putting a plan into
okay.
place where they collected corn. So is that a different corn? Is there a difference between corn and maize?
Well, you got to think two things. Remember, this was a retelling, right, during the time of Moses, right? Moses is retelling the world's history in this, okay? Get the verse where he's talking about it with Joseph.
Yeah, I think it's 41 and 5. That was a dream, and then later on
right.
it goes into
And remember, there's different types of corn, right? So
yeah.
Yeah, that's what, that was my question.
Well, we know as different. Corn today is not the same corn that was had back then, right? So 7 years of corn came up on the stalk, right? So remember, what we know as corn today is different than what corn was there. And this is why I noticed they called it maize,
right?
Right? So it's something,
yeah.
the presumption is that it's something slightly different, all right, when you say maize. It's not the same thing as what we see as corn now,
Right.
Good question,
okay.
though.
Okay, yeah, and also there was a Muslim I had come in contact with a while back, and he was bringing out that doctrine too. So that's the reason I wanted clarification, not only from myself,
right,
but
right.
for the
well,
audience.
No, so you
because
have, so
I'm
you,
sure.
In those situations,
yeah.
just stick with what the scripture says, and right?
Right.
You just tell them corn there and look corn in Christ times, and you go from there, all right? Because remember, some
right.
of this stuff is going to be speculative, and this is why when you go into books, you got to be somewhat careful. It's exciting. We bring that stuff up, but someone's going to be speculating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say that when Solomon went over there, that maybe other parts of the world didn't have the corn, and then they actually brought corn over there, and it just grew more here. Like, there's so much that you can leave in space in there, right?
Right.
So when you have
right.
those type of dialogues with people like that, you just bring your scriptures out. You just bring your scriptures.
Right.
Don't go into books and the other stuff like that, right? Especially if they come in with their own doctrine. I don't know what point he was trying to make with that, but, you know. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah. Go back to the thing. Thanks for the call, officer. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, all praises. Shalom.
Science, mathematics, chemistry, physics, philosophy. The Moors ruled Spain for 800 years. You expect me to believe Africans ruled Spain and brought all that to Europe before slavery? Yes. There were well-lit paved roads in Spain hundreds of years before a paved street in Paris or a street lamp in London. Africans were advanced. You make the Moors sound like the Jetsons and the Europeans like the Flintstones. It's not my intention, but the Moors designed modern cities and lived in palaces.
Stop. So when we, and we might not get to it today, when we get to American Holocaust, what he's saying, and again, when he says Moors, get Moors out your head, he's saying Israelites. And what he's saying there makes sense. Remind me to make the connection if we get there. If not, and if we don't get to this till next week, we'll go over it. But you'll read in this book here, American Holocaust, by David E. Stannard, that the accounts of the Spaniards when they came over to this side of the world is we have paved roads and magnificent cities and chambers of commerce and bridges and roadways. And out of their own mouth, they said we were more advanced than the Europeans
right.
in many of those things. The only thing where they were more advanced than us was weapons.
And that was their gift.
And that was their gift, right? Remember what talks about the spirit of Cain? You have Tubal Cain, who was an artificer of different weapons,
right?
And then you read in Genesis 25 about Esau and the blessing.
27.
Yes, sir.
And Esau and the blessings. And his blessing was that he, by the sword he would live. So the only thing where they were more advanced than us was gunpowder and things like that, right? But they weren't more advanced in everything else as far as civilization was concerned.
Correct.
All right. And history accounts for that. All right. Now, the book I have here will tell you it's largely speaking about Northern Kingdom, but you have to understand something. That gift comes through all Israel, right? So what he's saying about the Moors here reminds me of what it says here. So it wasn't just what they did in Europe, okay? It's what we wound up having on this side of the world, all right? What were you going
to
say?
And two things. And they used Southern Kingdom to when they came out here. Okay, now let's conquer, help us conquer Northern Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And another thing, what everything he's going over and that second person that he's supposedly talking to, the one with the red shirt, like, you expect me to believe all this? That's what we read in Hosea, that we would be without an image, without a prince. And so he's like, so you expect me to believe this? Like, oh, well, what about the Europeans?
That's the iconoclasm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's it. So he's like, and that's all our people, man. And you don't think you're great. You don't think you're royalty. You don't think we that the Southern Kingdom of blacks or Hispanics can't build nothing. Because then you've been taught lies all your history.
Right.
You think that your history starts in 1619 or in slavery, and you can't go past that.
Right.
And this video is heavy. This video is very heavy.
Officer, to add to your point, they think they're Egyptian.
Right.
Right, right. That's kind of what he's pushing here when he keeps saying Africans. But like I said, he's not wrong. It's really Israelites that came out of what's known as the African region is what it is. So it's Israelites. It's Israelites that
that's
he's speaking
right.
about. But go ahead, come on.
In barns alongside their animals. That's disgusting. The Moors taught Europeans hygiene, like music, fashion, chess, three-course meals, tablecloths. Many of the things you attribute to Europe being advanced and civilized were taught to them by Africans.
Okay. Tie this back to Africans discovering America? Oh. Wait. Do I even have to? With everything you just heard, could you not see how it's possible for an advanced people to journey to the Americas while Europe was literally still in the Dark Ages? There must be another eyewitness besides the Africans. Yes. Christopher Columbus wrote in his journal how Native Americans confirmed that black-skinned people came from the southeast on big boats, trading in gold-tipped spears, long before he arrived. If this is so concrete, how come it isn't common knowledge in history books? Well, whoever controls the past controls the future, right? Why can't we just look to the future? Why is the past so important to you? Let's say from the day you were born up until last week, I erased your memory. All your experiences, everything you know to have been your existence, gone. How would you feel? I mean, I'd be lost. Afraid.
Stop. Stop. So you see that? So without that history and why we go over those things, listen, the end of the day is keeping the commandments and the faith of Christ as an Israelite. That's important above all this thing with history that comes out. But I know the excitement that it is for people, because the reason why history is so exciting when history comes out, I'm reading in the comments, everybody's like, oh, I love the history. I love the history. The reason why it's so exciting is because deep down in your spirit, you know, the history that they gave you about us is a lie. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't sufficient. And they run around telling you these things. You made it, like, so much worse with whatever
no,
got touched just now.
I think it's over there.
It feels staticky and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right, but go ahead. Play it.
Future without knowing your past. That's why history is so important. And you want everyone to know this. Could you imagine? No.
Hmm. Check it out. Stop. Right. It's funny. Somebody get that man some security.
Right.
So he's saying you want everybody to notice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, he's not even 100% on point with this. He's talking about Africans and stuff. So you imagine the extent of this type of information comes out. So watch what happens now. Come on. The men in black come in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for this? Jim. Don't worry. It'll all be over soon. It's what they want.
Who's they?
Get them. Please. Take a look at this pen.
They want to put us back to sleep. They want to put us back to sleep.
Like you were saying, it's those bones that they throw in history. You know, that's
right.
That's what distracts us from
right.
the truth, right?
Right, right. So it's those bones that they throw in history. So you see what he did at the end of that after bringing all that thing out? That's what he winds up going into, all right? So let's get to the book, all right? We'll start reading from the book, okay?
The book.
We'll start reading from the book. So get the Atkinson's casket pages. That's the one that it looks real jacked up, all right? And you got to zoom in on that, the bottom right, okay? You got to zoom in on the bottom right.
Damn.
Now, I can't remember for sure. I got to make sure. I say this, and notice I'm saying this with a so-called grain of salt. I believe the Phoenicians were also, remember, Israel didn't come too much later. They were named last. But I think I brought this out before, and I think leadership too. The Phoenicians are us as well. But
right.
before we were named Israelites, right? They come of that line, of that seed, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
A lot of times they'll say it's the Hamites.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the Hamites, all right? So when it talks about the Phoenicians, you know, you can look past the part of where they give them so much credit. Is really still going into our people, all right? But this was before we became Israelites, okay? Are you able to read from that there as I do it here? Can you see that clearly?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
You want the top right, the Phoenicians?
The Phoenicians, you can start there. So this is the Atkinson's casket, all right? I don't know if they can see it. Can you show them it's not a cover, but the side, the bind? Show them that picture, the bind of it. So they see that's the front, all right. That's the Atkinson's casket. It was originally published in 1835. What I have is a reprint. It's not from 1835. They basically try to make it look like the way it was in 1835, like I mentioned earlier. I don't even remember which site I got it from, but I had to get it from like some obscure site as I was looking for it. So, all right. So go ahead, read. Go back to that page. Zoom in so that the officer can read it well. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
The Phoenicians, or Canaanites, as they are called in Scripture, a people who inhabited the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea, far excelled all other primitive ages in commerce and navigation.
Right. Is it in 1 Chronicles 12 where it talks about our people having the knowledge of navigation? So here, I want the historical context of this to let you know that there were other nations involved in this, all right? But it was... it's not to discredit us, all right? You take some of this with a grain of salt. Goes back to what the officer said I brought out. Sometimes they'll let history come out, but they'll throw some bones in it.
Mm-hmm.
Same way that they'll do a movie and, like, you know, a black character can't be great. Like, even in Black Panther, they had the white Fed that was helping them out and stuff like that, right? Like,
yeah.
So there's always something where they got to do it that way, okay?
If I can make something real quick so our people don't get stuck on Wakanda.
Yeah.
Wakanda is a place in Illinois full of Edomites.
It really is. Right, right. You got to say Israel forever, not Wakanda forever.
Right.
Right. But so the Canaanites didn't teach us nothing, all right? We were the ones that had all this knowledge. Is it – you had it in Second Chronicles.
I'm sorry, First Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 32.
Yeah, First Chronicles 12, that's what I said. You got the verse?
32.
Go ahead, read that.
Book of First Chronicles, chapter 12, and verse 32.
Read it out!
And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do.
Right. So meaning they were able, when it says the times, they understood like navigation, stars, and things like that. Go ahead, read on.
The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war with all instruments of war.
Right. So the point that I wanted from there is that there were those in Israel who had understanding of that, okay, navigation and things like that. And as we read the historical facts, you're going to see that. Now, what we're reading first here, they're going to say, I'm reading it to provide context. At first, I was like, I'm not going to bring that out because then people are going to get confused and think somebody taught us something. That's not how it is. But remember, they'll let certain history out, but they got to alter it, right? Just like they let the Moors out. Yeah, the Moors were great, but they weren't you. They were Arabs is what they try to say, all right? They were Muslims. But go ahead. Good. Read on.
You want verse 32 again?
No, I'm sorry. Read here in the book. We're okay. Back to the book.
In the days of Abraham, nearly 4,000 years ago, they were a commercial.
No, read it from the top again because it says they far excelled in commerce and navigation. I want that part to be brought out.
The Phoenicians, or Canaanites, as they are called in the scripture, a people who inhabited the eastern coasts of the Mediterranean Sea, far excelled all other primitive ages in commerce and navigation.
Now, again, remember, this is not, it's not talking about Hamites, okay? That's just the confusion with the Phoenicians. Go ahead, read.
In the days of Abraham, nearly 4,000 years ago, they were a commercial people holding communication with the Persians and most of the neighboring nations. The Phoenicians were the inventors of writing and the first who made any considerable attempts in navigation. About 3,000 years ago, they began to colonize. They settled Rhodes and Cyprus. From thence, they went into Greece, to Sicily, Sardinia, and into Spain. Mm. About the same time, they passed the Straits of
Gibraltar,
and made settlements on the western coast of Africa. The Canary and Madeira Isles were discovered and settled soon after by the colonies, which the Phoenicians planted in Spain. Their skill in navigation at this period must have been brought to a considerable degree.
Now, I'm not saying we were the only ones that knew how to navigate, all right? There were obviously other nations that did it, okay? But I'm just, again, this is for context. When we get to the next page is when it really starts to build up. Go ahead.
A considerable degree of perfection. That without the aid of the compass, they could direct their course from one end of the Mediterranean Sea to the other.
This is how Issachar was known to have that gift, all right, amongst the tribes. Remember, in that time of Chronicles, they were United Kingdom, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's speaking about, you know, they weren't in rebellion. They were in their right mind. They were in the spirit still, okay? So you had a lot of Issacharites that were seamen. You had the Zebulunites that goes into that were great at war and fighting and so on and so forth. And it gives the characteristics of our people under the United Kingdom, under Solomon, okay? Come on.
For rising of our 400 years...
I'm sorry. I was going to say, do you want the scripture where Solomon had ships, the navy of ships?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Go ahead.
For a rising of 400 years, were these... what's that say?
Bottom for a rising of 400 years, were these...
Active.
Active and enterprising people improving their kingdom.
Okay, go ahead. Next page. All right. And start on the top left. Go ahead.
Their kingdom at home. Establishing colonies and improving nations abroad and bartering and selling their commodities to all the nations of the then known world.
Of the then known world, right? Of the then known world, meaning the Eastern Hemisphere,
right.
So to speak,
right.
All right? That was what was the then known world, all right? There's emphasis on that. Come on, read on.
In the days of Solomon.
So now, in the days of Solomon, come on.
Nearly 3,000 years ago. The Phoenicians or
Syrians, as they were then called.
So some of this stuff, like I said, they throw bones in there. They're giving too much credit to some of these other people. But remember, throughout history, sometimes those lines get blurred because of that iconoclasm. All right, go ahead.
We're the only seamen of the ages capable of conducting the fleets of Solomon.
Meaning that Solomon's fleets were so massive at that time that he did have to get an enlist. But remember, they were all... They paid Solomon taxes.
Right.
So it's not like they were some superior nation that said, do this. They did this because they were paying tribute to Solomon. All right? Come on.
To the various nations with which.
Hey, and notice it said fleets, not right. boats, not some canoes. It said he had fleets, Solomon. All right? Meaning if he needed so much help from a different race of people, a different nation, mm-hmm. Why did he even have business making fleets? Right. You get what I'm saying?
Damn.
Meaning there was knowledge within Israel of how to navigate, okay? Any involvement of any other nation, it was because they were in service to Solomon.
Right.
It wasn't some sort of tribute and some sort of thing where they made some deal. Not like now where you have the United Nations and all this other stuff like that. They were in service to Solomon, okay? Come on.
Fleets of Solomon to the various nations with which that great king held communication. Where's that?
With that great king held communication. Come on.
Extensive must have been the voyages.
So it says the trips, meaning there was more than one during the time of Solomon. All right. Remember, the Bible in its massiveness also had to be concise.
Right.
So you're not going to get all that little detailed minutia of things, so on and so forth, that you would get in outside history. Okay. So it had to be. More history there that the Bible didn't document. There were other chronicles and things like that, but it wouldn't have reference. It wouldn't have space as far as spirituality is concerned. Just like you read in the New Testament, it says if you were to try to put everything Christ did in the book, there wouldn't be enough books.
Right.
Right. There was a bigger historical record that iconoclasts destroyed. All right. So it says he took extensive voyages. Come on.
Where are we at? Voyages which.
The enterprising
Tyrians made for Solomon.
So when it says they made for Solomon, meaning in service to Solomon. Come on.
Accompanied by the Jews.
Of course. They were going to be Israelites on them ships. Come on.
They were 3 years in performing the voyages which they were commanded to make.
They were 3 years performing the voyages which they were commanded to make. Remember that because as we read on, I'm going to show you how that 3 years is important in the context of 2 Ezra, okay? Mm-hmm. To validate even more that they came to this side of the earth. Come on, read.
For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish, which...
The navy?
I can't...
The navy of Hiram.
Which the navy of Hiram, once in 3 years, came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold, silver, and ivory.
Right. So that's an excerpt from 1 Kings. Let's get that. 1 Kings 10, 22. 1 Kings 10 and 22.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 10 and verse 22. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom.
Right. And then to prove my point that these people were in service to Solomon, read the next verse.
Verse 24. And all the earth to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart.
Right. So they wanted to hear Solomon. But the point was he had that extensive navy. All right. He had fleets. He had fleets. To call something a navy is not like three rowboats or three yachts. Hey, read it.
Verse 25. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules, a rate year by year.
Right. So they paid tribute. They paid taxes to Solomon. Right. And someone just posted how Deacon I read a book about the Phoenicians was Israel living amongst right. the Canaanites. Yes. So that's the point. You know, I had spoke about it, I think, years ago when we had GroupMe. And I broke it down for some of y'all how the Phoenicians were us.
Mm-hmm. In the picture, in one of the pictures that you posted, it's going to say that we are the Phoenicians.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
And what did you put up?
With the locust stone. You posted that.
Oh, okay. All right. It does talk about that. Right.
Can we go to chapter 9 and verse 24?
Yeah, go ahead.
the book of 1 Kings, chapter 9 and verse 26. Mm-hmm. And King Solomon made a navy of ships in Ezion-Geber, which is beside Elah, on the shore of the Red Sea, in the land of Edom.
Come on.
And Hiram sent in the navy his servants, shipmen that had knowledge of the sea, with the servants of Solomon.
With the servants of Solomon, which is the 12 tribes of Israel. Was there the Hiram his servants? Yes, that were working with Solomon, that were privy to Solomon. But Solomon had his servants as well.
Right.
And go ahead.
And they came to Ophir and fetched from thence gold, 420 talents, and brought it to King Solomon.
He brought it unto King Solomon, not to Hiram, to King Solomon.
Right. Malak Yawasab said about the Egyptian papyrus. Listen, that's what history will tell you. Remember what I tell you? They're always going to try to dilute our contributions, all right? Who was enslaved under the Egyptians? Us. Do you think that America, do they give us credit for the inventions that our people made?
Not at all.
No, hell they no. take credit. So, no, that was not the Egyptian. We didn't take nothing from the Egyptian. The scripture says, what is it?
They sought out to Abraham.
No, right. They sought out to Abraham for knowledge. And the other one where it says, not a dog shall wag his...
Lift his tongue. Yeah.
Right.
Against the children of Israel.
Get that real quick. Letting you know that all these other nations were nothing, less than nothing to us. They stole everything from us. The Most High didn't endow them with this type of knowledge and understanding. He gave all that to us. And anything that we did, they then claimed for themselves. All right? So that's really being fair. That's really being fair. We can't fall under that. It's subtle how they do it to us. And we'll give them more credit than what it's worth to them.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't roll that way. We can't roll it. Did you find it?
It's like I'm in Exodus.
4:11.
Mm-hmm. Next page.
The book of Exodus, chapter 4, and verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who?
I'm sorry. No. 7:11.
11
to 7?
Yeah.
I get it confused. Those numbers.
The book of Exodus, chapter 11, and verse 7. There it is. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against a man or beast, that ye may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel.
Right. So there's a difference. So you have to understand that historically, it's always been us. They've took everything from us. God favored us. He gave us all these things. So anything that they took, they went and then they took it as credit for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with timelines and errors, all of that's approximations, because where does most of that information come from? Esau, as far as numbered years and things like that.
Yeah.
Do you read numbers years in the scriptures like that?
No.
The times are told by who was the ruling empires. Mm-hmm. It's Esau that comes and gives you years behind that. Now, when we mention years, we'll say that because that's the reference point that we're using, right? That's the reference point that people understand.
Right.
So we'll go through that. But let's not give any of these other nations any even bit of credit more than what they deserve, which is nothing.
Right.
All right. So let's go back to where we were for the king had set at sea the navy of Tarshish.
The first king's what?
No, bring it here. We're going to be here, right? No, but start at to what regions of the earth? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You see it?
No.
Oh, gosh. You had it. You had it up.
Right there.
There you go.
Where come on. That?
To what regions? Right there.
To what regions of the earth this fleet sailed is left in a degree to conjecture.
Meaning that they don't want to say exactly where they went, right? Come on.
But from the articles they brought back and from the length of voyage, we are to judge. Besides gold, silver, and ivory, they brought apes and peacocks. These animals, more especially the latter, are found in greater abundance in Africa.
So stop 1 second. Yes, you're right, Malak, but you're still going back to timelines of Esau. If you read Genesis 6, when it talks about the sons of God and the sons of men, that there tells you how we were better and greater than them. This was before they had their empires and all this stuff like that. We were the preeminent race, all right, as far as knowledge and understanding. Anything they got, they gleaned from us. It's just that, again, going back to details of history, it's not going to get that detailed in the scriptures,
right.
All right? So I'm not saying that they were just they didn't have anything going on, right? I mean, they figured out how to build the Tower of Babel and things like that. But you can't get caught up in those timelines because that'll trap you up when Esau tries to come at you or people try to debunk the scriptures and they start talking about timelines. So when I hear things about Mesopotamia and the different empires and stuff like that, just remember who came out of the Garden of Eden, right? And the different trees that were in there, who he had set higher, right? It starts with Adam and Eve, and then to Abel, then on down. All right.
I'm gonna say, could we get Daniel real quick?
What do you want to bring up?
Changing the times.
Yeah, go ahead. You can bring that up.
Daniel 7:25.
The book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High.
So we already know that, and that's what we do in this show is to show our people how they're speaking great words against the Lord, against the Bible, right?
And shall wear out the saints of the Most High.
And hundreds of years, thousands of years, they've been wearing out the saints of the Most High, Israel. And that's what we're showing.
By cataclysm, by history, slavery,
yep,
captivity.
Right, right. Uh-huh.
And think to change times.
And they thought to change times.
And laws,
the laws in the Bible. Now homosexuality is okay. Now we don't keep the Sabbath on Saturday. They changed it to Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the calendar around to what they saw fit. So the times have been changed from what it properly was set by God to something contrary to what God had in place. Read.
And they shall be given into his hand until time and times and dividing of time.
And that's important, too, because at that point, as we continue to approach that time, it's going to change back to its proper place. It's going to go back to the proper timeline God had in store for us.
Right. All praises. All right. I see what he's saying. Yes, you're right. Then they started taking stuff from us. But yeah, we just got to be careful when we start going into timelines like that and trying to. My main point was your comment about, to be fair, we took, you know, the letters from papyrus and stuff. They took that from us. And I gave the example of like same thing in America. The inventions that we had here in slavery, they didn't give us credit for them. They said that they invented those things. Same thing happened as we were being conquered and stuff back then. All right. So let's go back to the book. And so it says, besides gold, silver, he bought apes and peacocks. Now, these animals, go ahead.
I can't even see it. Where are we at?
Right there. These animals.
Okay. These animals, more especially the latter, are found in greater abundance in Africa than in any other part of the world. And indeed, that seems to have been the place of their nativity. Gold, silver, and ivory abound likewise in Africa. And in the more southern parts of that quarter of the globe. Numerous species of the apes kind are found.
Right. So he's saying, you know, as they were taking their journey, this goes back to what I said when the guy in the TikTok were saying they came from West Africa. We're going to read on. It talks about sailing down around the Cape of Good Hope. They were making stops, and they were making different stops as they went here, and they were finding goods along the way, all right, that they could bring over, so on and so forth, right? But go ahead. Keep going.
Hence, we are to conclude that the fleet of Tarshish passed the Straits of Gibraltar and then directed their course to the south along the western coast of Africa.
Now, it goes back to this guy in the TikTok where he keeps saying West Africa, West Africa, meaning he thinks that the ships originated from West Africa. But it did not originate from West Africa. They originated from Israel with Solomon's fleet. And he talks about them going down through the Straits of Gibraltar and saving around near the Cape of Good Hope. Read on. He's going to say it.
Western coast of Africa near the Cape of Good Hope.
Now, the Cape of Good Hope, when you look at it in a map, is near the southern tip of Africa. Come on.
For only towards the south part of Africa were apes to be found, while along the Guinea shores, all of the other articles were in great abundance. It is rendered still more probable that this fleet, which returned once in 3 years, made voyage to the Atlantic.
Right. So it says this fleet, which returned once in 3 years, made voyages to the Atlantic. Okay. And he's going to explain that now, but I want to stop for a second as he says 3 years. Now, remember, the times are rough estimates. Okay. But let's get 2 Ezra 13:45.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 13 and verse 45.
Remember, it said it took them 3 years to return.
Yes, sir.
Read.
For through that country, there was a great way to go.
This country, Osirith, where they were going to go to, right? Which the Jewish Encyclopedia teaches us, and let's get that with Osirith. Let's read that up. It says it's this side of the earth. Come on, read.
Namely, of a year and a half.
They said the journey to get here towards the Atlantic, all right, to this side of the earth, is a year and a half. Come on.
And the same region is called Osirith.
Now, go back to the book real quick before you get Osirith. And read where it says it is rendered still.
You guys got me?
Yep, right there.
It is rendered still more probable that this fleet, which returned once in 3 years, made voyages to the Atlantic.
So if it takes me an hour and a half to get to Flagstaff, let's say it doesn't, it probably takes 2 hours, right? To come back, how long is it going to take me?
Three.
An hour and a half. How long would I have been gone for?
3 hours.
So when it says that it took them 3 years to come back, and now he's talking about the Atlantic, the Bible says it took the journey about a year and a half for them to get from this side of the earth to what's known as the Americas, which we're going to read as we pull up Osirith. Then that 3 years, just by that timeline and based on what the scripture says in 2 Ezra 13:45, will tell you that they came here. They came to what's known as the Americas because it took them 3 years to come back. It was a year and a half journey, right? And it took them time. Now, someone will say, oh, but, you know, what if they stayed there 2 months or whatever? Semantics.
Right.
Because he didn't say 4 years. That means they didn't stay there that long. That means they stayed a little bit. They got some stuff, and they brought it back.
They went with a purpose, with an intention.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It wasn't to say let's colonize there, at least not on this trip.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Right. So, what we're reading says that they made – you got to believe that Solomon made these journeys more than one time.
Yes.
Right. In his wisdom, he made this journey more than one time. And then this is why you'll say, oh, well, the Olmecs predated. Well, yeah, they got here and they visited. Now, that still doesn't make it not a land where never mankind dwelt by the time you get to Ezra's because they referred to it as that because that means there was no people here, right? So it's meaning there was nobody else that they didn't know here. Once their people started coming over here, it was like, okay, all right, that's us.
They discovered it.
Hey, and that's just only one point. There's another point I want to try to make sure we get to. We got time. We got like 45 minutes that I want to get to. Where it says something about 1,000 years.
Ooh.
From what they estimate it was populated here for 1,000 years before Columbus.
Bruh.
When did we get our liberty to come over here?
I got it written.
533 BC. When did Columbus get here?
1492.
Roughly 1,000 years.
Damn.
Roughly 1,000 years.
What the booms at?
I think they're there with their mouths down.
Right,
Maybe they got smacked up with the information
nearly,
that's coming
in. Nearly 1,000 years. That's
right.
950.
Yes.
Something.
Yes. Let's get Osirith and bring that up on the screen.
Hey, can I show the current, that canal current? Real quick?
Yeah, let's read Osirith first.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Osirith, the name of the land beyond the great river, far away from the inhabitants of men.
The habitation of men,
in the which the 10 tribes of Israel will dwell, observing the laws of Moses until the times of the restoration, according to 4th Esdras, chapter 13, verse 45.
That's what we just read. All right. They call it 4th Esdras. It's 2nd Esdras, but come on.
Columbus identified America with this land.
He identified America with this land. And then we're reading historically here about the timeline of the journey. So it's all starting to make up, right? So as he's reading this, it gets more solid as we go on. There's still a lot more information in this. We're probably not going to get to the other books. We're just going to stay in Atticus's casket for tonight based on how much time is left. But we'll go back to the other books later. What are we going to bring out about the currents?
So it said they went from Africa, they went south and then north and then Canary. Look at that current,
the Canary Current. Where does it take you?
It takes you straight to Mexico, South America, right there.
Right around there, where supposedly the Olmecs are. Mm-hmm. Right around there, all right? You even have other currents, the North Equatorial Current, all right? So you have all these different currents that will make it easy to get here. What do you think? They stumbled on that current, or Solomon knew about that current in all his wisdom?
Damn.
Right. We read in 1 Kings 10 how all the nations went to him for wisdom.
Right.
All the kingdoms went to him for wisdom. So
He knew about these currents. He knew that there. But I feel like as the stuff is coming out, their music is getting louder. That's the right. Damn devil. Bro, they might even be watching us just to see when we're bringing out good stuff so they can play the damn drums harder.
Hey,
bastard.
Can I address this real quick?
Go ahead.
Daniel Moon, why are we focusing on the Old Testament? Guess what? Because this is our history. This is our history. Your Christian church, your lying pastors, they all just want your money.
Hey, not even just that. Even before you get to that. The only reason Christianity can exist today as a religion, obviously it's through the power of the Most High,
right,
is because we don't know our history. So you get to the confusion in the New Testament about Jews and Greeks, about those that were scattered abroad, and all of that comes because we don't know that history. The Old Testament is not taught enough in your churches. Christianity is a white supremacist religion that wants to keep you in the dark. And guess what? Your pastors are so slow and so simple in their understanding that they don't even notice
at all.
They just repeating what they meant. That's the ventriloquist puppet. And the white man got his hand up his ass, and he just over here spewing out the BS that's there.
Talking about, someone give me a heads up when they start preaching about the New Testament and Jesus Christ.
You got to know the history. That's the only way you're ever going to understand the New Testament.
Can I get a script real quick?
Blockanda. Go ahead.
Get Job 8 and 8 real quick. Real quick. Because he said, we got to know our history. Even in the video we just started with, he said, if I were to erase your memory up to what he said, like last week, how would you feel? Where would you be at, right? Go ahead and read.
The book of Job, chapter 8, verse 8. For I inquire, I pray thee, of the former age.
That's what we're doing. We're inquiring of the former age. We know the age of Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man in the world. Why not, that's ever lived on the earth outside of Christ. Why not sit there and do the search of our forefathers? Read.
And prepare thyself to the search of their fathers.
That's what we're doing. Read.
For we are but of yesterday and know nothing. Because our days upon the earth are a shadow.
So our days are short. Well, we get a glimpse into all of this wisdom when we search out the things of our forefathers.
Right. All praises. Let's go back to the book. Go back to where it says it is rendered. I want to make sure we get through this.
You sure you don't want to do the hour plus and a half?
No.
Hour plus?
It is rendered still more probable that this fleet, which returned once in 3 years, made voyage to the Atlantic.
Right. So now he's saying they made voyage to the Atlantic. We saw the canary currents, all right, that was spoken about in the TikTok video. We saw in the Bible how it says, so for dummies who try to say that Arseret, right, is Australia or someplace like that, there's history documented that shows that it's not. Mm-hmm. It took them 3 years to return. The Bible says it took a year and a half for them to get here. That's a round trip.
Right.
That's a round trip, right? And remember, these are roughly approximations, okay? Come on.
Where are we at? Or all the parts of the Mediterranean.
From the circumstance?
Where's it? Oh, from the circumstance, not only that it could have explored any or all the parts of the Mediterranean Sea in a shorter time than 3 years.
So he's basically, even he's acknowledging based on basic navigation that it had to be that they came over here because it took them 3 years. Come on.
But from that, another fleet was fitted out on the shore of the Red Sea and
conducted
as was the other.
Letting you know that more fleets started to come to explore this side of the earth. Mm. All right. Because in that short 3 years. So this addresses the part where somebody might get slick and say, well, what did they do? Get there and turn around and come right back. Well, first off, there's a little bit of range. And what it tells you is that they were so excited by what they saw there.
Right.
Think about it. They got there. Solomon tells them, you're going to go, and I need you to go
here for 6 months.
Right.
Or so?
I need you to go here, and I need you to do this, this, and this, right, and go check this out and bring back proof of what was over there and so on and so forth.
Right.
Their mission wasn't to stay here for 6-7 months. Mm-hmm. It was come here, discover it, see what was there, bring some stuff over, right? Meaning the Most High must have given Solomon divine revelation about this.
Right.
And it wasn't for Solomon to get wealthy. That was a byproduct of it. Mm-hmm. It was so that by the time you get to 533 BC in 2 Ezra's, those elders understood that there was a place that they could go that was not on that side of the earth.
They said,
well, there is some place because it's chronicled in our history through the wisdom of Solomon that there is a place that we can go.
Hey.
Prepare thyself to the search of thy father.
Right.
Hey, right. And I was reading after we were reading, I kept on reading. The Persians burned the Bible. So there's other things that we don't have
right.
that our forefathers in Second Ezra, when they came on this side of the earth,
yes.
that Ephraim in the heads, they said, hey, we have these records.
Right.
We know about this other place.
Right.
Damn.
Right. So it tells you they started to send out more fleets. Go ahead. What
I was just going to say, and if you think about it, it's talking about how long it took for us to travel. It's not talking about the downtime of us being in America. You know, you really
right.
think about
right.
it.
Right. But remember, he says they didn't explore the whole time. They couldn't have done that in 3 years, which right. means they came, they surveyed a little bit, right? They took some stuff, and they came back.
Right.
And then he said they started – now he started sending fleets that were positioned in other parts already. Because remember, it said he had fleets, all right? Mm-hmm. So meaning he started to say, okay, so let's shorten the journey. Let's send some fleets that are already near the west coast of Africa,
yeah.
right? Because he talks about the Red Sea here,
right.
okay? Go ahead, read that part again where he says, from the circumstance.
All the way at the top?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
From the circumstance, not only that it could have explored any or all the parts of the Mediterranean Sea in a shorter time than 3 years. But from that, another fleet was fitted out on the shore of the Red Sea, conducted as was the other.
Meaning they went over here too, just like the first fleet that left straight from the kingdom of Israel. Come on.
By Tyrian or Phoenician sailors assisted by the men of Solomon.
Now, I don't like that. It's that Solomon assisted them, not assisted by the men of Solomon. All right. We read that when we read 1 Kings 10. But go ahead. Come on.
This fleet sailed to Ophir, which must have been on some island in the Indian Ocean.
Right. So we can't say with certainty, but some people say Ophir was India, like Elam, India. All right. There's some speculation that Ophir was meaning something closer to this side of the earth. All right. So when it talks about that precious gold of Ophir,
right.
You know, again, we can't say with 100% certainty, but some people say India, some people say he meant this side of the earth, like on the way here. Right. Go ahead. Come on.
Or on some of the coasts of that ocean. Hence, the fleets of Solomon traveled two oceans, one to the east and the other to the west of Africa.
Come on.
And on board of their fleets were both Jews and Tyrians.
And the reason they say it's potentially India, and that's what they were referring to as Ophir, was known as India today. Remember, there's a scattered remnant of Israel over there as well, right? You have the Sedes, the Dalits. You have Ephraim over there as well. Okay. Go ahead.
Ancient writers speak of a large and delightful island or land which the Phoenicians discovered in the Atlantic Ocean, west of Spain. This land was called the Atlantic Isle.
So they called it the Atlantic Isle. Come on.
And it is supposed to have sunk, as no succeeding navigators could ever find the place laid down by the discoverers and by those who visited it immediately afterwards.
Right, because it's not that. It's that the Most High took the understanding away from the other nations of where it was for a season.
Mm.
It was only retained in Israel.
Mm.
So they couldn't find this place again.
Dang.
So that they wouldn't come sooner. Because remember, they had fleets too.
Right.
Because it was ordained that we had to get here first so that prophecy can be fulfilled, so that the second Ezra's could happen.
Dang.
And then so Northern Kingdom could go under those final curses under the Spaniards in 1492. And so that the Most High could then reunite Northern and Southern on this side of the earth when the transatlantic slave trade started in 1619. Yes. So what he did was he erased the understanding from Hiram, the Tyrians, and all of them,
right.
and he only kept it with the Israelites of where this place was.
Definitely.
All right? Come on.
Now, it is easy. It is natural to suppose that when Solomon's fleet was in the Atlantic Ocean at a greater distance from Tyre, the capital of their sailors' empire, then from the American continent, and perhaps in pursuit of the famed Atlantic Isle.
Yeah, it's the typeset is real old. That's why I say it's like a reprint, so it's a little smudged. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
That some of the fleet should, from mistaking their course, or from tempests, be driven or borne to the American continent.
Now, that's them not giving us enough credit that Solomon had divine knowledge of this place, and they're saying that we found an American continent, just like the video implies. We happened to get stuck in the Canary Currents, and that's what brought us this way.
By happenstance.
Right, by happenstance. Mm-hmm. But we know that nothing's happenstance with God, right?
Right.
Come on.
The probability is still strengthened by the fact that in the
Atlantic Ocean, west of Africa. The regular trade winds are constantly blowing to the west.
That's when you saw two or three different currents from the west of Africa that blow west, right? Come on.
Which with the Gulf Stream occasioned by the trade winds flowing in the same direction would bear a vessel very rapidly to the American shore.
Come on.
Storms and tempests might have separated the fleet and driven some of the ships to our coast.
Again,
our
coast. He's not giving God and the Israelites enough credit with this, and he's saying that is by accident. But notice he talks about storms and tempests. I remember in 2 Ezra 13, it says the Most High held still the flood.
Mm-hmm.
So he made it so that we could get there. So in actuality, what happened here was that the Most High held still the flood for us to get the initial discovery of this place
right.
prior Damn. To what you read in 2 Ezra. Come on.
Would bear a vessel very rapidly to the American shores. Storms and tempests might have separated the fleet and driven some of the ships to our coast. Having no compass, and when perhaps no sun, moon, nor stars appeared for many days, the mariners...
Wait, did you read the probability is still strengthened by the fact?
Did I? Where's that at?
Oh, no, you did read that. Would bear vessel very rapidly. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Having no compass, come on.
Having no compass, and when perhaps no sun, moon, nor stars appeared for many days, the mariners... The mariners may have become...
No, that's not the case. Remember, Issachar had understanding of those things. All right, we read that in 1 Chronicles 12. Come on.
Lost their course, and instead of reaching the desired haven, landed in the new world.
Again, that's just them trying to discredit us.
Yes.
That we got here by accident. That's the same thing they said happened with Columbus.
Exactly. I was about,
right.
That's the same
right.
BS they said about
that's
Columbus.
That's the same thing they say, right? Come on, read.
Daring enterprise might have induced them to direct their courses through the western waves in quest of lands which had never been found.
2 Ezra 13:41. In other words, read that.
We draw
no,
our...
No, 2 Ezra 13:41.
Okay. My bad.
2 Ezra 13:41. He said, lands which had never been found. In other words, read that.
The book of 2 Ezra 13:41. But they took the counsel among themselves that they would leave the multitude of the heathen and go forth into a further country. Where never mankind dwelt.
Lands which had never been found, where never mankind dwelt. But remember, by the time you get to Ezra's, how did they know that? A lot of times that's not brought out. And there's an understanding there. And the assumption is they had divine intervention, but it wasn't in that moment. The divine revealing of this place was given to Solomon. This is why he sent fleets here. This is what we're reading in this history here. That was given to Solomon, and then we had that recorded through history. So by the time we were given liberty, all right, we were said, okay, there's a place where we could go. That's how we knew there was a place.
Right.
There's a safe haven. There's a place we could go to get away from these heathen. And they knew they needed to get away from them because you read that in Judges.
Five.
No, is it 2 or 3? 1 through 3. One of those.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. Come back here. Come back to the book. So it says waves. Come on.
We draw our conclusion that from some... What does that say, sons?
Some
of the above causes, the first people inhabiting
North America. Oh, there we go. Come on. Come on.
North America were driven to our shores, that these people were Phoenicians or Tyrians and Jews.
But it wasn't. See how he contradicts himself? He said how some fleets, they forgot where this place was. All right? So it says the first people inhabiting North America were Jews.
Right. Where the bombs at?
It was Israelites. Bro, I think they had back there taking notes or they're doing something else. I pray they're not asleep because it's too strong for them to be asleep. But we got no bombs. We got no effects.
Man.
They there in their notebook highlighting stuff.
Don't worry. I'm going to bring it over here. I'm going to bring that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, you got to bring it here, bro. You got to bring the control for that here. Oh, my goodness. It's telling you that the first people who inhabited this place were the Israelites.
Right.
Come on.
Or Jews.
From the conclusion, we will land.
No, you missed a part.
Where am I at?
And right after
and
Jews.
And Jews, and that they landed in an ancient days. As those of the reign of Solomon.
Oh, wow. When you talk about the Olmecs and somebody says, what about the Olmecs? That's not African. It's not Hamites. It's the Israelites.
That's right.
Because under the reign of Solomon, we had discovered America. The Israelites discovered America. Come on, read.
From this conclusion, we will lay our our premises and endeavor to support them by as many facts as have fallen under our observations, and by such as good authority enables us to employ. Many are the circumstances and, does that say test?
And facts.
And facts, which would induce us to believe that a numerous people prepared are prepared for establishing an extensive colony.
They had plans to live over here. But Solomon fell into whoredom, idolatry, right? Because whoredom is idolatry, because he started following the gods of his many wives and concubines, and the kingdom fell apart under wicked kings after that.
Right.
So he never was able to see that through. Thus, another thing that gets you to understand when they say that they got together and said, let us go where never mankind dwelt.
Right.
Because there were plans to, that wasn't God's plan yet. But Solomon was setting it up for us to colonize over here.
That's heavy.
That's what it's talking about.
Wasn't it like First Kings, like after he got done building like the temple, it was talking about how God was like, I would have established thy kingdom forever.
Right. Right.
Oh, oh yes, yes. But it goes into Christ. Go ahead.
Where are we at? In speaking?
Right there. Colony.
Came,
an extensive colony.
An
came
extensive
to the,
colony came to these realms and fixed their residence near the coast of the Atlantic. But whether the progenitors of the Indian.
So notice what he calls the Jews.
The Indians.
He calls them the progenitor of the Indians.
Bruh.
Because we weren't called Indians until the conquistadors came and called us Indians.
Right.
He calls us the progenitors of the Indians. The progenitors of the Indians. And just above, we read that it was the Jews that came here during the ancient days, during the reign of Solomon.
That's
so he calls the Jews, the Israelites, the progenitors of the Indians. Read that part again.
But whether the progenitors of the Indians,
come on.
Whether they came in a numerous
no, of America
of America arrived here through design or accident. Whether they came in a numerous fleet or in a single vessel, it matters not.
He's saying basically it don't matter how you think they got here, if it was by accident or by divine intervention, the progenitors of the Indians were the Israelites. Come on.
If we can trace their origin and read their history, it must suffice.
See, that's the people that try to get so complicated. They want to debate corn.
Right.
They want to debate the Bering Strait,
right,
land masses, and all this other stuff. Mm. He said, listen, if you could read their history, and I can't get into it today, that'll segue us into next week's show, Lord's Will Lies Last, where I'll go into the Aztecs and I'll go into American Holocaust. And that's exactly what they start talking about is our history. It lines up with the history of the Israelites in the Bible. He says, but if you read that history, don't matter how you accept that they got here, they're the progenitors of what's now called the Indians, the native indigenous of this side of the world. Come on.
In speaking of the Indians of America coming from Phoenicians and Palestine or Judea, we have. Is that
right? Where are you? In speaking of the Indians. Okay, go ahead.
We have relevance.
We have reference.
We have reference to the numerous tribes which inhabited the central and southern parts of North America.
Meaning that all those early historians of Edom, they understood and they knew always. Somewhere along the lines, they got together and got reminded of that crafty council and said, you can't put this stuff out there. You can't say that because then our rule will come to an end.
Right.
Do you like this place? Do you like the free labor that we have?
Right.
Then shut your mouth. And they went through that iconoclasm to prevent this information from coming out. So he says, we have reference to the numerous tribes which inhabited the central and southern parts of North America. Come on.
Those which inhabited the northeastern parts, we believe, came from a different quarter.
Meaning he knows that the tribes broke up, that they broke up when they got to this part of the land. Come on.
And those in the northwest of South America came from a quarter different from either
came from another direction. And the inhabitants of South America
came from a quarter different from either of the others. Of these we shall
treat
in their respective places.
So what he's saying is that we all separated into different parts of this side of the earth.
But
that's simply what
he said. And the South America came from another quarter different from the other tribes. No, I got a book that says we landed in, it says we are from Sidon It says it starts like just like New Mexico. It's inscripted that we landed in what is now Brazil, and from there we went differently.
Right, right. So, but he's basically he's presuming that we came from different quarters because we were separated by tribe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the way we have the tribes broken up, when you read the 12 tribes chart, it goes into that, right?
Right?
And it talks about that. Let's pull up that map that I brought last week that I said I wanted the map of South America and Central America together.
That's how they branch out with like the Mayans and the Aztecas and all of that, thinking it's all different people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm. And it says, of these we will treat in their respective places. We had it from last week, Central and South America. Was that it?
No. Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Well, that's Central. But there's not one together, right?
I'll send them one right week. Now. I'll send them one right now.
Okay.
You remember we had them separate.
Okay, that's fine because you still see Colombia down at the bottom where Panama connects. Mm-hmm. So, remember, I was saying to remember the tribes. Can you do the 12 tribes side by side with this? Are you able to do that? Is that too much? Did we brain freeze you guys because of that?
He said, huh?
I posted the 12 tribe charts in the Telegram today.
Just open another. Yay.
What time is it? Okay, we're making good
full
time.
Full screen.
Okay. All right.
You can't
keep
do full screen.
No,
that's
keep
fine.
Them side by side. Keep them side by side.
Yep.
All right. Okay. So I said an easy way. Remember, he said they referred to them. He said that they – basically, he's saying that in different parts, they were different. All right? Mm-hmm. North America, we're not going to put the map up. We know it's Gad and Reuben.
Right.
All right? Gad and Reuben. Okay, you read that here, Tribe of Gad, American Indians, Reuben, the Seminole Indians, all right? Gad and Reuben in North America. Now, let's look at the rest of the map. The Caribbean, you have Ephraim, you have Manasseh, and you have also you have Benjamin there, right? Jamaica parts there, right? Now, when you're dealing with Central Mexico is Issachar, all right, which were the Aztecs, all right? That's the book we'll go into next week where it's documented by people that came here. This is by Fray Diego Duran, that their account of how they got here goes back into the history of the Exodus. So they talk about Moses and stuff when he first got here.
I sent you another picture.
So we'll talk about
South America.
We'll talk about that next week. So that's Mexico, okay? And then now when you get Guatemala, Belize, all the way down to Panama. So you got Honduras, Costa Rica, Panama. That is Zebulon, all right? Mm-hmm. That is Zebulon. And that is the Mayas. Those are the Mayas, right? You read that in Deuteronomy 33:18, and it says the Aztecs and the Mayas, it says, in Zebulon in his tents with Issachar. All right. Right? We'll show some more maps and stuff like that next week. We won't have time today for that. Okay. Now, you see that Colombia is showing at the very tip of West Central America. So it's real easy, right? Because some people go, oh, where are you from? Oh, I'm Nicaraguan. I'm Honduran. Oh, damn. And I forgot to go over the thing with Nicaragua today. The new rule over there is kicking out all the Catholics and all Christianity.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, I forgot to go over it. Remind me to go over it next week. Remind me to go over it next week. I posted it. I think I posted the video. I forgot to go. I wanted to start with that.
Wow.
They're burning Caesar Borgia.
Yeah, they're burning Caesar Borgia. Yeah. Now, everybody's saying, oh, it's a revolt against this stuff or whatever. The guy in the video says, I think Christ is returning soon because of seeing this.
Right.
But not because of what he thinks. Not because white Jesus being burned. That dude probably, he realizes that Christianity is white supremacy, so he's kicking all the Christianity out.
Right,
you
trying
know?
To get rid of it.
Right,
now.
He's kicking all of it out. So when if you're ever confused, I was talking about this last week, and you want a simple way to understand the tribes, all right, Central America is Zebulon. Any of these in Central, if somebody tells you they're from any of these places, that's Zebulon, all right? Mexico is Issachar, and then go to the South American map. Still leave the 12 tribes up. And South America is basically split between Asher and Naphtali. It's as simple as that. South America, okay, make it with the 12 tribes. All right. So if you go down to Uruguay, and I know we say Colombia to Uruguay, but here's a real simple way to do it. Easiest way, because South America has a lot of countries, right? Naphtali is Argentina and Chile. Highlight those, Argentina and Chile. The rest of it is Asher. So you go Uruguay, Paraguay, Bolivia, Peru. There might be some overlap a little bit here and there because of the way we've moved around. But in general, all right, Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Venezuela, Guyana. There's Benjamin in Guyana too, though, all right? You got Cayenne, French Guyana. All of that is Asher, all right? Easy way to understand it, okay? Let's go back. So this is what he's saying when he says he found that the people were slightly different, like they were separated, and it's because of the way we wound up dividing up this side of the earth, all right? Come on, let's go back to the book.
We have the subsequent.
The subsequent parts, yes.
The subsequent parts of the work are occupied with descriptions of the Indians of North America, their mental improvement, knowledge of arts, and
science.
They knew arts. They knew, had mental improvement. They had sciences, all right? Meaning we were not savages.
Right.
We were an advanced civilization. Come on.
And with notices of the remains of antiquity, the work of a more enlightened and industrious people than the present race of Indians.
He's saying there was nobody at that time more enlightened and more industrious than what they call the Indians.
Right.
Very different narrative from what they teach us in school today about the natives when they got here, that we were naked, we were savages,
right?
But these are the earlier historical accounts. So meaning it was sometime after the 1800s that they changed this, because this was printed in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. So it was sometime shortly after the 1800s that they started to change that. All right, come on.
Some of these remains are...
Oh, well, he says, which have been found in America. Then the present race of the Indians, which have been found in America, which he's already established, are the Israelites. Come on.
Some of these remains are...
Minutely
described and explanations of characters focused on...
Found on Dighton Rock, Massachusetts. Meaning, damn, we're not going to have time. Maybe we'll see if we finish this because we're almost done with this part here, but I wanted to go into some scripture too. Meaning that there was... those are the stones and different things that they found here that had Hebrew writing on it.
Right.
That's what he's talking about when he says the characters found on Dighton Rock, Massachusetts. Come on.
And other places are attempted. Strong arguments and proof of the position assumed in the third chapter are presented, as well as many incidents and facts of a deeply interesting character, which we have not space to notice.
Come on.
With the annex paragraphs taken from different chapters of the work, we leave the work for the present.
Right, meaning these are just excerpts from books. These were books that he had. So the books that he's getting this information from, they don't exist anymore. Mm. Or if they do, they're in some Edomite's library or collection that's never going to see the light of day.
The Vatican.
Right, the Vatican, right. I know, we got to get into the Vatican.
See what's in there. The parts of the library that they won't let us in.
Right, right, exactly. The parts of the library that they won't let us in, right? Go ahead, read on.
As America became settled by a civilized
people. So notice, they call us a civilized people. Far cry from what history teaches us, that we were savages, right? Come on.
And the industry of the enlightened divested lands of the rough productions of nature, numerous remains of antiquity were discovered in almost every section of our country, which had been improved. Indeed, there is no part of our land but
bears
evident mark of having began once
settled. Having
been once settled and improved by an enlightened, enterprising, and scientific people.
No, but notice, now you read Deuteronomy 28:37, they don't say nice things about that. We're a proverb and a byword.
Right.
He's calling blacks Hispanics, all right, an enlightened, enterprising, scientific people. Come on.
That they were very sufficiently, numerous. The extent and magnitude of their work sufficiently demonstrate.
Right, meaning what they found over here and through iconoclasm they destroyed. If I had time, I was going to then go into this book to talk about. So what we'll do is next week we'll start with this part again. We're going to finish this page right here. Next week we'll start with this part again so that we can segue into the other books, and then I got some more scriptures on it too. But go ahead.
These remains of antiquity consist in walls, tombs, mounds of an enormous size, posts, chimneys, stones, axes, hatches.
Stone axes, hatches.
Arrows and
numerous
engravings on rocks.
Right, because, you know, they're always talking about Egyptian hieroglyphs and all these ancient places that they find. But then you come here and they show you a child's drawing and say that was our drawing. And this is what I mean by that.
They'll show the cave writing or the drawing of the buffalo and this and that, right, and it looks rudimentary, right? It don't look like as nice as the hieroglyphs. That's why I say that's a child's writing, or mine, because I can't draw for the life of me, right? So that's a child's drawing. And they'll show you that and say, see, they were savages. Look at their primitive drawings. But he's saying that the stuff that they found in our inscriptions and everything showed how advanced, industrious, and civilized we were.
I have videos where that Father Crespi and how he...
Well, if we have time, we'll show some of your videos.
Oh,
because we're almost done with the excerpts here.
You want to?
Yeah.
It's like a couple, few of them.
Well, we could show a few of them.
Okay. and they have... it's.
Hey, and that in Puerto Rico,
in
the doctor
gold,
with the stones,
yes,
and the Hebrew inscriptions on the stones. I think he wants to do a follow-up with us. He says he wants to learn more about us now.
Oh,
we
wow.
stayed in touch with him over the years, like following up with him on
he
the progress of the stones.
He mentioned something at Men's Conference.
And Officer Eliab was telling me that at Men's Conference. Yep. Go ahead.
According?
No, where does?
Engravings on rocks.
Earthenware. Earthenware has been discovered in some places, and likewise some very ancient coins.
Meaning we had commerce. They tell you that we had beads, that we sold Manhattan for beads because we thought beads was something special.
Right.
We had coins, and I don't mean a little piece of wood with an engraving. What are coins? Precious metals.
Right.
Gold and silver.
Right. Come on.
Knives, axes, and hatchets of curious workmanship in iron and steel.
Remember how we read Zebulon? They were with weapons and stuff. They
right.
understood how to deal with that. Come on.
Have been found in several mounds.
Right. Notice they'll tell you that we didn't have iron and steel, that we used onyx or obsidian
when they came here.
Yeah. Right. Or rock. We didn't have gunpowder, but we had steel and iron and things like that. Don't let them tell you that lie. What were we going to say, soldier?
That proves that the gold rush, we already knew about that.
Right.
And
right.
all that gold in South America, we already knew about that.
Yes, yes. We had all that. They said the stuff that we built. Now, mind you, I'm going to go into how we went into, and then you'll see prophetically, by the time they got here, we might have kept some of our customs, but we went into idolatry heavy, like as was prophesied with us. And we'll read excerpts from Hosea and stuff next week to get into that. But go ahead. And steel, come on, have been found.
And steel have been found in several mounds which have been opened.
Read on.
According to the reports of the Spaniards who first invaded Mexico.
Not discovered, invaded. Right. All right, come on.
The empire had been established in that place but between 3 and 4 centuries, and that the nation came from the east. This
meaning we came from this side, and when they came at that point, it was 300 or 400 years that we were in the midst of idolatry. That's when he says the empire had been established 3 or 4 centuries. Come on.
This was the tradition and likewise the records of the Mexicans.
And like that's, see, I was going to go into the Aztecs after that. We just don't have time. It's too much information. Come on.
We have supposed that they came from Asia in the days of Solomon.
So when he says Asia, he's meaning this side. Remember, when you look at the map of Asia, right, it's this side of the earth, all right? So he's not saying that they're Asian. He's saying, remember, he said that he had fleet positioned in other places we read earlier, and that he sent, though the first fleet came straight from Jerusalem,
right,
the other fleets he had already had in different parts of the earth over there. Come on.
Which was about 1,000 years before the Christian era.
About 1,000 years before they call the Christian era the era of them coming over here and bringing Christianity over here.
Mm.
He said that it was 1,000 years before the Christian era. Read on.
If they had resided in Mexico but 400 years when the Spaniards conquered them, they must have arrived there about 1,000 years from the time they commenced their pilgrimage.
From the time they commenced their pilgrimage,
damn,
from the time the conquistadors arrived, it was 1,000 years. It was 1,000 years. The approximation of when we came over here. Now, let's get 2 Ezra 13. We talk about this a lot on the show in 40, all right? From 533 B.C., which is what we estimate, to 1492 A.D., is approximately 1,000 years. It's approximately 1,000 years. Let's get the scriptures, 2 Ezra 13 and 40.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 13 and verse 40.
Freedom!
These are the 10 tribes which were carried away prisoners out of their own land in the time of Hosea the king, whom Salmaneser, the king of Assyria, led away captive.
Salmaneser, the king of Assyria, led us away captive, right? So he's saying that these are those same people, which was the northern kingdom tribes out of Samaria. Come on.
And he carried them over the waters, and so came they into another land.
Right, so under the Persian captivity, we were granted liberty, all right? Get that in Ezra 1 and 2. We were granted liberty
from the Assyrian captivity, all right? So he says, once the Persians came to power, right? Well, it's really Medo-Persia, right? It was the Medes and then the Persians.
Yeah.
Right, but we say Persia Mede because Persia was more prominent.
Well, Persia became more powerful, more than the Medes.
Right, after, right, so. Exactly, exactly. So, but under that, right, so Ezra 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
Second Ezra or first?
No, Ezra. In the main Bible.
3.
Do you have it?
Yes, sir.
No, start at 2.
Okay. The book of Ezra,
because
chapter 1.
Because you have
1.
To see, this is where we get the time period to understand 1,000 years. Again, yes, it's all approximations, but it's 1,000 years, because it tells us who it was under. Come on.
Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all kingdoms of the earth, and he hath...
So Cyrus, this is under Cyrus, the king of Persia. Come on.
And he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah.
Come on.
Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build a house of the Lord, God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem.
Right, so he said, listen, go build Jerusalem. Go back and build it back up. Come on, read on.
And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth.
Meaning some of them, you could stay here in Persia, you know, right here close to us in the capital. All right? Or you could go wherever the hell you want. You don't got to go to Jerusalem if you don't want to. Come on.
Let the men of his place help him with silver and gold. With silver and with gold and with goods.
See how it's important to understand this history? Because if you're just coming out of captivity in 2 Ezra 13, you don't got nothing. Right. So how did they buy their ships and have their money and their victuals to make the journey?
Mm.
They were given reparations by Persia.
And I'm going to prove that
they were
this
given
is
reparations
real.
By Persia.
With the videos that I got, I'm going to prove that this verse right here is real to the T, bro.
Come on.
I'm sorry. I got excited.
No, it's
and
good.
And with gold and with goods and with beasts besides the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem.
Right. For the house of God that is rich. But guys, read verse 5.
Verse 5. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem.
Meaning some northern kingdom stayed behind. This is why you get to John 4 with the woman by the well, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them left. And it's those of them who were in the spirit to stay behind. Some of them stayed behind, all right? But the vast majority, when you read 2 Ezra, then came out from here, right? Come on. Go back to 2 Ezra 13 and 40 again.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 13 and verse 40. Freedom! These are the 10 tribes which were carried away prisoners out of their own land in the time of Hosea the king, whom Salmanazar the king of Assyria led away captive, and he carried them over the waters, and so came they into another land. But they took this counsel among themselves, that they would leave the multitude of the heathen and go forth into a further country.
I'm sorry, I had this written in the wrong spot. Just so you understand how they were displaced, real quick, how the Assyrians rolled. 2 Kings 17 and 24. Because we often talk about it, but I don't bring the precept out. All
yep,
right?
Yep. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, in verse 24. And the king of
So I'm sorry. In verse 40, there's a bunch of history that's just summarized in like 3 sentences, right? Come on.
And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Kutha and from Ava and from Hamath. And from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel.
So that was the Assyrians' custom. They would remove the people from there and place them in there, like these people that they also had rule over. They had Babylonians, they had Kutha, they had Ava, they had Sepharvaim. All right? Come on.
And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof.
Right. So the Israelites, they brought them back to Nineveh. Okay, so most of them were brought there instead of leaving them in Samaria in their captivity. This is why they had to then come and go back. All right, go back to 2 Ezra.
The book of 2 Ezra, mm-hmm. chapter 13 and verse 41. But they took this counsel among themselves that they would leave the multitude of the heathen.
So this was around 533 B.C., more or less. Now, we know B.C. counts, right? 533 to 0 is roughly 500 years, right? 477, all right? Mm-hmm. And then from there, right, all the way up to 1492, that puts you in the realm of roughly 1,000 years. Roughly 1,000 years. Again, it's all approximation. Remember, these guys are estimating this stuff. Mm-hmm. They're estimating this stuff. And they're saying that these people had to have been there that long if that by the time they built up these cities, it was 300-400 years. And we'll show you how I know they brought things out. So, again, you can't go super precise. We reference time sometimes, but they give you a time frame, right? They give you a time frame that adds up to roughly the equivalent of what it is, okay? Come on.
But they took this counsel among themselves that they would leave the multitude of the heathen and go forth into a further country where never mankind dwelt.
And we've established that they knew about that based on this history that we brought out, that this place where never mankind dwelt was this what's called the Americas today, all right? Come on, why was the reason?
That they might there keep their statues, which they never kept in their own land.
Which they never kept. Well, it's actually 1,500. I know Jerome Jenkins put 2,000 years approximate. If you go by 533 B.C., it's actually 1,500 before the conquistadors came. But remember, that's just, we don't know if it was 533 B.C., all right? Right. It's within the time frame. Right, because 500 down to zero is five.
530s. Yeah, because I have notes. It says 537,
right.
38.
Right. So
around there.
We're not entirely sure. So I know you're saying 2,000 years approximate. Again, all of it is speculation. But the point is that they even get that close. Mm-hmm. For them to even mention that. Remember, those years and things like that typically aren't mentioned.
Right.
So for them to even mention that in the history, all right, in the Chronicles, right, in some obscure book that they tried to hide and get rid of,
right.
All right, goes to show you that they were hip to it. The Bible gives us the accurate information, right? So we know approximately 2,000 years based on what we think. Mm-hmm. They were estimating it as roughly 1,000, all right? They were estimating it as roughly 8,000. Remember, they also have their own timelines of what they think was Solomon's reign,
right,
as well. All speculative in that regard. The point that I make when I bring this stuff out, same thing with the year and a half being 3 years.
That thing
is, you can't go straight and say, right, they probably were here a couple months. They didn't just jump back on the ship and go back. No. So it was 3 years and 2 months, right? Or whatever it might be, however many months.
Right.
So it's a range, but the range is within range more or less of what we think is the time of these empires, of this rulership, and when we may have been granted that liberty, right? When we may have been granted that liberty. Mm-hmm. So now, the part where it says, read verse 42.
Verse 42, that they might there keep their statutes, which they never kept in their own land.
Right? And how did they know that that was something that they needed to do? Get Judges 2 and start at 1. We're going to read 1 through 3.
Yeah, this is beautiful when the Bible comes to life like this, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Bro.
That stuff gets me mad. Bro, I was highlighted. There was so much stuff, but like I said, I didn't even get to the other books. I don't know why I thought we would. It never works that way.
Come on, bro.
No. Now next week's show's already lined up. Like, you know? So
plus and a half.
Right. Judges 2 and 1.
The book of Judges, chapter 2 and verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you.
Come on. And the reason I read verse 1 is so that you know who's the audience here, right? Come on.
And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land.
Right. We're not supposed to make covenants of death with these people. Come on.
Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side.
This is why they said we got to go someplace where never mankind dwelt, where they could there keep their statues, because they understood historically that the heathen were going to be as thorns in our sides. Come on.
And their gods shall be a snare unto you.
And that their gods would be a snare unto our people always. So they said, listen, we got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
We got to go someplace else. Let's go back. Let's finish that up in 2 Ezra, and then we'll wrap the show for tonight. Go ahead.
The book of 2 Ezra, chapter 13, verse 42. That they might there keep their statutes, which they never kept in their own land. And they end to Euphrates by the narrow passages of the river. For the Most High then showed signs for them, and held still the flood till they were passed over.
Come on.
For through that country there was a great way to go.
So what that lets you know is that that's a similar route to what Solomon wound up taking when he first discovered the America under his kingdom, when the Israelites first discovered America back then.
So they went into the Euphrates. They went all the way down through the Straits of Gibraltar, around the Cape of Good Hope. They sailed up, and then they caught one of those currents until they caught those currents to come east, which was, we used to say was exactly the tip, which would have really been Argentina or Chile. But we know, you said you had information that came out. It was somewhere in Brazil is what they estimate. Mm. So which means they didn't catch the Canary Current when they came this time. They caught the Canary Current when they Solomon sent them first out. When they came this time, what you're reading in Second Ezra is around 500 BC era, they went what? And they caught one of the lower currents that flow west. All right, go ahead, read.
For through that country there was a great way to go, namely of a year and a half.
And remember, it said when Solomon first came here with the fleets and with Hiram and them, it said they returned once in 3 years, meaning that's a round trip approximately. Year and a half going, year and a half coming back. Come on.
And the same region is called Arsareth.
Arsareth, like we read in the Jewish Encyclopedia, is considered to be what's known today as America. Come on.
Then dwelt they there until the latter time.
And now we're here in these last days. Come on.
And now when they shall begin to come.
Right, meaning what? Return back to the commandments. Wake up out of our sleep and acknowledge that we're Israelites and keep these commandments. Come on.
The highest shall stay the springs of the stream again, that they may go through. Therefore sawest thou the multitude with peace.
Right, so that's not going into travel. Remember, it's talking about the flood of the dragon, right? The springs that he's going to stay through now is that, so that those of us who need understanding can go ahead and be able to know what's going to be coming out, so that the mouth of the dragon, that flood that he puts out,
right,
doesn't distract us from this, all right? He's going to fight against us for that, so that we can get this understanding that comes out. Because somebody said, well, the flood wasn't stayed in the last days so that they can come back. What's that going into, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now it gets prophetic. So you have history, it's prophetic, and now you get into that double meaning that's there. Anything?
The video you want me to
see? It's already 9:09, man. We're going to have to save it for next. You said it's a lot anyway, right? So what we'll do is next week, we'll start off with that last paragraph that we read, right? Because I wanted to go into American Holocaust,
yep.
Right? So that's going to talk about the infrastructure and how we were industrious people here. And then we'll go into the Aztecs because he talks about the Mexicans in the subsequent verse. And then we could show some of the videos and go into that stuff. So,
man, oh, man.
All right.
Hey, I'll praise the Most High that this information is being brought out, man, because people talk about Jesus in the New Testament. What he really wants is Caesar boat.
But right, man, what he wants is Caesar boat. Listen, you cannot talk about Christ and not talk about history.
Right.
When you read Matthew 1 all the way down to 21,
gosh,
right, it starts with his genealogy.
Right.
When Christ came on the scene, the first book in the New Testament is about his history.
Right.
So you cannot have a discussion about Christ with me, you simple Christians,
bring it out,
until you can talk about the history of his people, if you don't want to say it's us, which is our people. And that's why when you get to the Matthew 121, that's why when you get to Matthew 121, it talks about that.
Cut him up. The book of St. Matthew.
Start at 1. 1 and 1 and then jump to 21.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 1.
The first book in the New Testament starts with this.
The book of the generation of Jesus Christ.
The generation of Jesus Christ is going into his lineage. Come on.
The son of David. The son of Abraham.
And then it goes into history. Read verse 2.
Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob.
Why? Because you cannot talk about Christ in the New Testament until you can talk about the history of the Israelites. Jump to verse 21.
Verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people.
The people of his generation, which he begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. Come on.
From their sins.
He will save the Israelites, his people, from their sins. So you cannot talk about Christ to me.
Oh,
you
man.
Cannot talk about, why are you in the new? Why are you in the Old Testament? Why are you talking about history? Don't talk to me about Christ until you can talk about his generations.
Dummy.
Right. Get out of here with that stuff.
There's your wake-up call.
You got me amped when you said that.
I'll praise the Most High.
I'll praise the Most High. I'll praise the Most High. All right. That's the show for this week. We'll be on next Wednesday, Lord's will, 7 p.m. Arizona time. That's 10 p.m. Eastern. All right. Was that 9 p.m. Central? Yeah, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. All right. Continue to like and support. Hey, if you're watching on IUIC In the Classroom 2 or IUIC TV or Facebook, do us a favor. Go over to IUIC Phoenix on YouTube. Like, subscribe, throw some comments in there. Check out all the social media that we have in the lower third down there. And, hey, I'll be remiss if I don't say this. We need y'all to support the Booster Club with whatever you can. We are planning a trip in the fall, okay? Mm. We're trying to hit 3 Northern Kingdom countries. We're not going to say what they are or exactly when the dates are, but we definitely need to start raising funds for that. You'll see that down there in your lower third. IUIC that fundraising at IsraelUnite.org. Whatever you can send, all right? Don't assume that others are sending or whatever. These trips are only possible. The scripture says his line will go out in all the earth. This gospel must be preached in the whole earth, and then the end shall come. There's many of our people who have not been touched as heavily by white supremacy, and we got to get out there, especially to these northern tribes. When you hear this history, if this thing made sense to you, the history and the scriptures made sense to you, support the mission, all right? We're trying to send a larger team out. We want to hit 3 countries in the fall, okay, back to back to back, so that we can go ahead and preach this gospel and help to establish some schools in Arsareth. All right, I'm not even going to say America. It's an Arsareth, all right? So help us out. Right. IUIC that fundraising at IsraelUnite.org.
Like I said in the beginning, Israel United in Christ, we're doing bigger and better things every year. It's time to level up. Help us with the donations. The Booster Club is definitely needed.
Right. All praise to the Most High. Hey, Saturday, we're doing a show Saturday?
Yes, sir.
What is it, English?
I'm not sure yet.
We're not sure. Exclusively on Facebook, 11 a.m. Arizona time. All right. You get an hour of power instead of 2. Okay. And we're hosted by the officers. All right. Good topics come out on there as well. Support that as well. All right. Y'all be safe. Stay in the spirit. All right. Make sure you study, pray, and apply. Big, big things coming for the nation of Israel and within IUIC as for what we're doing for our nation. All right. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
You okay?
More fire. I had to cool down the headphones after that.
This for the Southern Kingdom. This for the Northern Kingdom. Viva la raza.
We won,
We was chosen, not because we the most of the people. Few in numbers, but we over the people. We gods of this earth. We ain't supposed to be equal. Stop playing, you emotional people. The good gotta triumph over the evil. So my foot on the throat of the ego. Their tongues will confess that we the people. Because my nation ain't never been peace for the Southern Kingdom. Call me Shara La.
One nation.
For the Northern Kingdom. Viva la raza.
We won,
this for the Southern Kingdom, from Yasharala.
Better be careful of fire. Change all your ways or you'll be his desire. Whoa, gotta stay away from Satan changing my mind frame. Yeah, you know we die and daily turning it up on a feast day. Put this on replay. No longer divided cause we all.
This for the Southern Kingdom. Call your Shara
love.
This for the Northern Kingdom. We got our side.
We won, one
for the Southern Kingdom. From Yasharala.
Hey, one nation.
This for the